Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 195.
That's my thing.
We didn't do the intro video or anything?
I already did it. You guys weren't paying attention.
I wasn't paying attention.
I was reading about
it's over there. I couldn't see it.
Yeah, you guys can't see it. I can see it.
But... I was like,
and Brian didn't warn us, so he.
Well,
just...
I was trying to play my phone thing.
You guys have always been upset at me because I sit here and wait and wait and wait, and then we finally go live, and then you're not prepared, or you're prepared, but I wanted to make sure that we went live aroundish the right time.
And my name is Brian.
And the wind is.
Pleasant.
I was going to say pleasant is the correct word for that.
Crippled System, episode 195. My name is Andy.
Brian.
Nathan.
Chris.
So why don't you like Rodimus Prime?
I just don't like him. I don't like. Here's the thing. I don't like Autobots in general.
So you dislike him more than the standard Autobot? Is it just a blanket Autobot dislike?
I dislike him more because he's dumb.
What?
Because he... I'm the big hotshot, gonna stop Megatron and Optimus Prime, who's been trying to do it for years. I'm gonna jump in the middle of it. Oh wait, now I'm gonna get taken over and killed. I mean, it's like it really.
Well, you know,
I don't know. I'm like, just back the hell off. And then if Prime fails, then you can step up and get killed by Megatron
Prime
next.
Failed every time. Like Optimus Prime had failed time after time after time. It was time for a new attempt.
A change.
Yeah.
Hope and change.
You gotta the bold people get the things.
Right. Hey,
favorite,
you know,
fortunes of bold.
It worked. Yeah. Megatron was defeated.
I guess, yeah.
So there you go. The plan was successful. He was right in that it defeated Megatron. Bonus perk,
maybe,
he got a promotion.
And then because I hate Autobots.
Chris is correct.
And Optimus Prime died, which you should love because
I was okay
Autobots.
With that.
Yeah. So it's win-win-win.
Yeah.
Autobots suck. Decepticons rule.
Yep.
Yeah, spoiler in Gloomhaven, it sucks when you're good and you don't want to be good.
I don't know how you guys messed that up. The two of you together should have had this plan.
Well, there's like one of these early, because there's like this choose A or B kind of things that happen so often. And like A, we thought we could be helping this, because there's your party's reputation, and then there's a city's prosperity, which you want to go up. And you can do like, there are ways to make your reputation go down when making the city better, but we had guessed something and got a bunch of reputation. We're like, well, now we've gone up this chart so far. And its reputation is kind of hard to get, so we accidentally kept doing a couple of good actions.
Accidentally.
Well,
did good. Nathan and Brian.
Right.
Well, like, that seems really...
There was one. It was like, there's like 50 million guards, and there's a dude, and the dude makes a break for it. Do you help the guards, or do you fight the 50 million guards while this random dude you've never seen before escapes? And I was just like, I don't want 50 guards
well,
to beat
I would
the
just
shit
say-
out of me.
Just let him go.
Not my chair, not my problem.
I guess that's exactly
so.
Yeah.
But to the game, that's like, oh, you didn't try to take on 50 guards. I guess you're a good guy. 17 more rep, and then we were pot committed.
Yeah, and there was one time where it was like steal from the church, and John, one of John's personal goals is to do a bunch of stuff with the church, and we didn't know if it would mess with him or not at all. So we're like, well, we don't want to mess with one of our characters, and then we got some more rep there, and now we're like +7 rep. And it's
so
like,
why did you let John
and there
play
were some
with
guys
you then?
Doing a
if he's
going to
be good with the church, I mean that seems like an inherently good thing.
Well, the church could be more good. We just were risky.
There were guys doing a drug deal, and it was like, leave them alone, or you know, get in there. And I'm like, I want free drugs. You know?
So instead of helping the necromancer conquer the city and changing the leadership, we're like fighting the damn necromancer. It's just terrible.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
People are the worst.
Since we weren't going to go in that path, I kind of read the spoilers for the direction. I'm like, this is the most awesome thing in the world.
We could have been friends to the Skelly Men.
Oh, man, it's
instead we're lame boy scouts.
I feel like you just throw the game away, buy another copy of the game, and then just play it the right way.
We should throw this one away, buy another copy, and then set that one on fire just to make sure we're two steps removed from being good guys. Although I'll admit, like, as much as I love being evil, whenever I play like a Fallout game or something like that, I'm always a good guy the first time through just because that's the
correct way
to play it. You know, and then the second time I just eat everybody.
I thought you guys were, I mean,
I
Brian
fully,
went,
I full
went full evil.
Evil the first time
I thought you were the drug addict, weren't you?
No,
when you
I
played,
was a
or?
Drug addict cannibal.
Yeah, he's a drug addict. I was a drug addict, but I was a nice drug addict.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I was friendly. I would, like, rescue an orphan while tripping balls and yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't do any drugs when I played Fallout 4 the
all
first
the
drugs are a very...
And Fallout 4 especially. Like, 1 and 2, like, drugs are a mixed bag. Like, 4 is just, like, shove everything you can into your retinas, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just take plenty of things addictive or whatever.
Yeah.
Addictol or whatever it is. But yeah. So we're good guys in Gloomhaven. It's the worst.
Bullshit.
Do we have any other announcements?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I played like a half ton of Mansions of Madness yesterday. I like to play like 7 board games in the last 2 days.
I haven't played a single board game in... I don't know. When was your last board game thing that I came to? Not last weekend, because I couldn't...
last weekend?
But the one before that.
It was early the month before. It was like beginning of the month.
Okay.
You guys have board games
I think
Saturday.
That was the last... But yeah, but we haven't, because it was March.
Uh-oh.
And we watched basketball.
Ugh.
We do... I mean, my friends, that's what we do. It's March Madness. We ditch the wives and... And then there was something else. There was some... I mean, it wasn't every weekend in March, but... Then last weekend, I couldn't make it because I'm doing a community theater play.
What play?
It's called Unnecessary Farce.
Nah.
I play an inept cop.
Unnecessary Farts is what it should be called. That would be great. It was just filled with farts.
Well, if it was filled with farts, then those would be necessary farts, because if you have a play called Unnecessary Farts, it needs farts in it, but then those farts are necessary to the play, paradoxically. I can't review procrastination. I'm using my veto.
All right. That's so I haven't played board game in ever, and I thought, I'll last minute with Andy, we'll try to get something going, and then everyone was playing Gloomhaven.
Mech vs. Minions would have worked fine.
Yeah, you guys could have done other stuff.
He didn't want to play Mech vs. Minions. He said we couldn't because you guys were doing Gloomhaven, and
it works fine.
Couldn't we just do two players?
Yeah.
So I assembled my Signar battle box and watched WrestleMania and Rooster Teeth stuff. Millionaire Butt something. I don't know. I don't remember what it was.
Millionaire Butt something. That was like a great show.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I thought so. It was good.
Indeed. But yeah, I don't know. Board games are fun.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Some of them. Some of them are terrible.
Yeah.
Most of them are good, though. Well, most of the ones I've played, because I only play good board games. I know that's a self-fulfilling, question begging, et cetera, but...
Yeah, I don't think I've played... I mean, Last Night on Earth, it's kind of a zombie side-ish.
That's where the flying frog ones, right?
Yeah. It's okay. It's not great.
I think that was one of the earlier ones,
it's their
right?
second game.
Was the Aliens one first?
Conquest on Planet Earth is 1, and then Last Night on Earth is 2.
And then they got to the Rocketeer game.
Yes.
That was third?
Yep.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Well, I'm adjusting it to make sure it's correct.
Yeah, he was quiet before. Now he's better.
There's going to be an anniversary edition of one of the games coming out soon. Either an anniversary of Last Night on Earth or an anniversary edition of A Fortune Glory or something.
I'm confused because I thought like 5 years ago like they had a warehouse burned down and they went bankrupt or something. Like, how do they exist?
Well, that was a thing. They had a delay for a little while doing stuff. Well, I mean, they've kickstarted. They couldn't make Shadows. They're small enough where Shadows was too much for them to make on their own capital, so they kickstarted just Shadows. Right. But they still make other stuff.
Because I just remember back before Shadows and before even Fortune Glory, when that happened, it was just Flying Frog is dead. Like, that was the nudes, but I guess...
It's just their website. Their website is the worst site in the world.
Well, they're
2 years after Shadows of Brimstone was up, they still had on their main page, click to support Shadows of Brimstone on Kickstarter.
Well, when the warehouse burned down, their internet access was lost, and they haven't been able to get back to the internet since the warehouse fire.
They kept the internet in the warehouse.
Yeah, the internet there. Yeah, if I was on a floppy.
Yeah, it's been... I think it's actually, if you go there now, it's still the link to the Kickstarter for Shadows of Brimstone. It's like, they've been writing that for a while now.
Well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe.
It's not as bad as the Space Jam website.
Space Jam. Coming soon. Space Jam 2.
No. Oh, man. Space Jam. Still never seen it. Point of pride.
Why wouldn't you see it?
No, fuck it.
I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, I know. Opening. Apparently everybody saw it.
It's got a 92 in Rotten Tomatoes.
Space Jam does not have a 92.
Does Bugs Bunny take Michael Jordan's face off?
That would be amazing. Everyone would have saw it then.
Oh, my God. Oh, that shit.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to make sure. Space Jam does not have...
Space Jam's going to be like in the 80s or something.
No. I'd say 67. That's my price.
That's obviously at least 102.
Realistically speaking, I think it's in the 70s at least. I don't think it's below 70. That's my hard bottom, would be 70, because it's a fun kids movie with Michael Jordan and a bunny and then another bunny that people want to fuck.
And Bill Murray.
That was the bunny that people wanted to fuck.
Oh.
Why?
I made some poor choices then. back in the day because it was the other bunny that I...
If you do B. Murray and then the M gets kind of blurred and you do it in cursive so the R's look like N's, it says bunny.
Bunny, sure.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
No,
Arctic Circles are giving Space Jam a perfect 5 out of 7 in our chat.
Nope.
What is it?
37.
37? Wow. Really? 37. People hate it that much?
Yeah.
People like it.
But it's got Wayne Knight.
Yeah.
And it's got that song by that guy that pisses on 12-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. During this.
That would be R. Kelly.
Yeah.
By the way,
was that his cousin or was the other underage girl he was having sex with his cousin?
I don't know that part of it.
It's hard to keep track of all of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Such a bad song. It's on our Muzak, and it just makes me want to eat a gun so badly.
Yeah, somebody else was talking about that at work, and they didn't reference it with Space Jam. They referenced it with something else. It was in some other thing, and I'm like, I Believe I Can Fly was used somewhere else. I mean, I thought that song's horrible. Why would you do that? But yeah,
the song talks about peanut 12-year-olds. What?
The song doesn't talk about. Oh. But that was R. Kelly's big thing.
Was peanut? Okay.
Yeah,
that was his thing. Yeah,
yeah.
I thought his Space Jam
was about that.
No, he liked two things, and that was
something about tween
girls and urinating on women he was having sex with.
Was it? Was he the one who did the closets songs? All the
yes.
Okay.
He did.
Half of that makes sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. Closets, peeing on girls, and
you can guess which half.
Yeah,
yeah.
Depends on the day of the week.
Did he do 12 play? Was that R. Kelly that did 12 play? I think so.
I don't know. He was in the closet and he peed on girls. That's what I know.
We shouldn't travel down roads that we normally don't travel down.
Here's my War Machine news for today. I'm probably playing War Machine on Wednesday.
It's
my War Machine story. I have two lists made up, and unless something odd happens, I'm going to be there on Wednesday.
That's right, 12 play. That's R. Kelly's debut studio album. Spoiler, it's terrible.
Spoiler.
Some people might like it.
Well, people must have. He was popular. Like, people didn't even... I think he kept being popular after the whole sex crime trial.
Yeah. I thought somehow there was a Kardashian involved, and that's how Kardashians got popular.
Now, that was Ray J.
Yeah, but I thought it was R. Kelly, but I thought it was Kim that got peed on. But I realized that's different. It was just a sex tape.
It's not on the
You're clanking it on the microphone stand. I have to give you mittens one of these days so you just stop fidgeting.
Indeed.
So I'm very disappointed in three of you that you didn't it took you so long on Thursday. To remember, Venger was the villain of Dungeons & Dragons.
I know. I was depressed. I had to Google it.
I was like, oh my goodness. I was screaming at my computer.
I still don't know who that is.
It's Venger.
I have almost no memory.
He had
one red horn.
That came up. And he was, and he was the Dungeon Master's kid, it turned out.
All I remember is the retarded wizard and his unicorn.
That was, if you look on the wiki for it.
Spoiler.
For what?
I just found that R. Kelly illegally married Aaliyah when she was 15. Aaliyah, known for Aaliyah, whatever.
For her plane crash?
The plane crash. Yeah. She did that one song for The Nutty Professor, and then she was in Queen of the Damned.
Yes.
This is Brian and Chris's favorite movie.
Yeah,
Queen of Dam is one of the worst things ever.
Yes. We saw it. It was in the theater.
Oh, man.
It was epic.
She
was very hot in it, though.
Yes.
She was an attractive lady.
She hasn't aged well. Oh. That's my second joke I made today that I was proud of.
This is bullshit. So I'm in the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon Wikipedia, because of course it has one.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it?
I mean...
And it's bullshit. It says, Venger is an evil wizard who wants to impose his tyrannical rule on the whole of the realm. So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if King Arthur wants to unify the tribes, it's great. It's this noble banner that he's rallying them to. But Venger wants to do it. Evil wizard. Tyrannical.
The difference is King Arthur did it and was successful, therefore it was good. If Venger would have succeeded years later, it would have been the good thing.
It's like a civil war versus a revolution. Yep. It's determined by whether it's successful or not.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly, because they get to write the history. and that's how it works.
Oh man, if only Venger had won.
I don't think Venger actually ever lost either. I don't know if that show actually ended. Did it actually have a conclusion to Dungeons and Dragons?
I don't know.
Did they actually ever make it home?
I don't think cartoons from the 80s really went carryable conclusions.
Well, like Mighty Max had a finale. It's one of my favorite series finales ever, and so I guess that was early 90s.
It got canceled before they could, you know, conclude everything. I think they did have one in the can saying, "Yep, this is how it's going to end." But
in the can, like in the toilet?
Yes,
in the toilet.
I
just saw somebody posting something about it's like, "Yeah, He-Man's getting a new cartoon for the first time in like 30 years." I'm like, "Fuck, where were you in 2002 when they redid the series?"
Try to scream on the way down. I've always wondered how deep it is.
Has like one of the greatest Skeletor quotes ever. He's about to throw King Randor down a pit, and he's like, "When you're fallen, please scream. I've always wondered how deep this goes."
He said please.
Yeah, he did.
Arctic Circle lets us know Venger lost it. Had a conclusion, but you get it on the DVD set audio only. Found.
The final unproduced episode would have served as a conclusion as well as reimagining had this been picked up for a fourth season. Yeah, so there was an unaired finale.
Venger got a concussion. He got the C word. and then he couldn't give other people high fives. And
he didn't get high fives, yeah.
He couldn't get pancakes made by Alex Moran because that was bad.
So the series progresses from his repeated displays of power begins to seem possible and later even probable that the Dungeon Master could easily return the companion to him himself. The suspicion is confirmed in the script for the unmade series finale wherein the Dungeon Master proves he could have just done that without any difficulty. What a dickhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Dungeon Master
was always a dickhead in that show from what I remember.
Yep, and
he would always try to let them learn on their own, and I think he always popped up and helped them all the damn time. I don't know.
Role-playing games, huh?
Venger, evil, blah, 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 son of the Dungeon Master. Described as an evil force compared to the devil, it's occasionally hinted he was once good but fell under corrupting influence. This is later revealed to be true in the unmade finale Requiem when he's restored to his former self. So there you go. In the finale, Venger is cured and becomes a good guy, which is pretty bullshit.
It is a terrible fate.
I assume the kids get to go home.
Hope they die there. They get eaten by them. Dungeon Master eats them.
There's a bullshit one. The one episode I remember, the Dungeon Master warns them. They say there's this evil guy you got to watch out for. He's got white hair. Mm-hmm. So beware the guy with white hair. And then later on, they're trusting this dude, and it's all a trap because the guy's got like dark raven colored hair, and they're like, "We were told to look out for a guy with the white hair." But that guy has a white pet rabbit.
Mm.
And the Dungeon Master meant hair, H-A-R-E. And that's bullshit. He could have said rabbit.
Yeah. Depends on the region, you know. Maybe in that region they call it a hare
or bunny or bunny. Pet. Like
what? Or they could eventually said, "Hey, wait a second, boss, you have white hair," or actually, technically, you had like no hair on top. He had a skullet.
Yeah, but he did have
He had a skullet. Actually,
he had white hair. Totally.
You should have stabbed him.
So I guess he was telling the truth. He was confessing his villainy
at that point. Yep.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun.
Ah. There was a tournament in Chicago. I think Felix won.
Yay, Felix.
So it was a one-man tournament?
Because Felix is bad.
Felix has been... I mean, he plays trolls a lot. So I mean, he knows his faction.
He's been working really hard at... he's been playing a lot of Masters events and that. He's been doing much better.
Felix is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Good job, Felix.
Hooray for him.
Yep.
If that information is correct.
Which you may not be. I think I saw that he won. If not, then
congratulations, Jordan Knock. If you were there,
I don't think he. I think he was there, but he didn't. I don't think he won.
Gesundheit. The issue is we recorded on Thursday, and we have not had very exciting 2.5 days. Like I did way too much yesterday. I went to the zoo.
You can tell us stories about the zoo.
Yeah, I went to the zoo. Oh man, animals kept almost fucking. It was great because we go into the cat exhibit and it was bullshit because there's an outdoor and an indoor area and the lions were outdoor, which normally means the hyenas are indoor, but I went indoor and there were more lions inside and there just were no hyenas everywhere, and that's bullshit because hyenas are my like absolute favorite. I love hyenas. And I think it was because there was a guy and a girl outside and then two girls inside, and it's, you know, that time of year. So I think they wanted some privacy, quote unquote, where the other ladies weren't bugging the guy so that he could, you know, knock up the lady. which he wasn't doing, but then we saw there were a couple snow leopards. No, they were jaguars. And the one was sleeping, and the other one wakes up and starts, like, sniffing the other one's butt, and the sleeping one would, like, wake up and smack it. And I'm like, that's a guy, and that's his girlfriend. I've seen that reaction before. I've been married. And sure enough, I was right, because after, like, five more minutes, she finally gave in. And so some jaguars started humping each other in front of a whole bunch of kids, and I was just laughing at how many people were trying to decide how to explain to their kids what was going on. And then we always saw the great. We saw giraffes sniffing each other's butts, and it was like, I want to see giraffe sex.
Yeah,
because that's got to be the most gangly, knobby-kneed thing ever.
I want to see them sniff their butts because you got to get that.
Oh yeah,
he's all the way down. That's some work there.
And there was a camel sniffed another camel's butt, and then it came up and it did the thing where like it curls up the upper lip, and mammals do that when they're smelling a woman that's in heat because they have. Sensors, they have pheromone sensors on their upper lips. Like, so when you see deer doing that weird snarl look, that's they're trying to smell a lady's vajayjay from a distance.
Mm.
But then it looked like that second camel had a vajayjay, so we don't know if it was just, you know, a confused camel or just likes it that way. Mm. But so they didn't hump because they were lacking the penis. And then
they
already
had humps.
That's true. They had two of them because they were Bactrian camels. You know they're back because there's two humps like a B, and the ones with one hump, it's like a D, so that's a dromedary. It's easy to remember, kids.
Yeah, it is.
And then we saw red pandas sniffing each other's butts rolling around, and we decided that if we saw red panda sex, we would just kill ourselves because there's no reason to go on living after seeing red panda sex because that has to be the most adorable thing ever.
Panda?
Red pandas.
Yeah, red pandas.
Red pandas, they're just like, weaponized cuteness. Like there's like nothing chubby, cuter than red panda.
They're like chubby raccoons.
They're like chubby raccoons that fall down and are goofy and oh, they're adorable. They're incompetent raccoons.
Yeah, they're nature's redheaded stepchild.
Yeah,
they have issues.
Oh my god,
they should all be wearing helmets.
They're the Charlie of the raccoon genus.
Yeah, the Charlie Day.
Yeah, they're the Charlie Day of the raccoon genus.
Yeah,
and but they did not do it. And then I got, because we were at the zoo, and I had two singles, because I had a $20 bill, and I bought like $4, and so I got, or $3, so I had two singles and a 5 and a 10, but the wax things cost $2, and when you go to the Milwaukee County Zoo, you have to get a wax animal. It's like the law.
Which wax animal did you get?
Well, yeah, so I couldn't remember which ones I had at home, because some had broken in the move, and so I got to get some replacement ones.
Sure.
But the one I knew I didn't have, because I'd never seen before, was a cow, when we were in the milking thing, so it's right by the entrance, so that was the first thing we saw, and then we did the whole loop, and I'm like, all right, I didn't see anything else, so go back to get the cow, and I put in the $2, and I filmed it, and it made the wax thing, and then it opens up, and the cow's stuck in the mold. And then, like, the little scrapey thing scraped down, and the cow's just in there in the mold. And I don't know who was sadder, me or the six-year-old girl behind me who already had her $2 in hand to get a cow of her own. And we both just looked rejected and sad.
Did you try making it again?
I did not. I told her she should, and maybe, like, it would make a super cow inside of a cow, and who knows what would happen. But I did not do that.
I would have thrown $2 into it. I would have tried to find $2 to throw in there. Yeah, I had somebody guard that machine and then, so I could have my two-headed cow.
It probably would have pumped the wax inside the first cow and just made it a solid block of wax. Then you could have
milked the cow.
Yeah.
Or it would have just spit it out, like, through, so you had, like, a gigantic flash, so you had a cow with, like, a...
Like a mohawk?
Demonatron. Yeah, with a mohawk.
Yeah. Dimitrodon. Yeah, Dimitrodon cow.
Yep.
That'd be great. Instead, I just went to guest services and said, hey, I didn't get my cow, and they just gave me a cow. And it occurred to me I didn't prove it at all. Like, I could have been like, hey, I went to all 13 of them, and none of them gave me an animal. Gimme, gimme.
They probably know about buckets. The cow. They know about the cow.
The cow, and I had to do that one my last visit because I got a bat, and the wing didn't fully form because it's a really thin part of the sprue or whatever, and so they gave me a replacement. But that, I at least had the bad bat, and I said, give me a new bat. But true story. Then we went to the zoo. Not the zoo. Then we went to the Milwaukee Public Museum.
Was that, like, cool at all? The last time I went, it wasn't all that.
It was all right. The big thing is, number one, there's way too much shit. Like, it needed its own day. Instead, we had 3 hours, and that was not enough time. And so it was – I paid more than I should have for the amount of time we were there. Because, you know, there's no, like, by the hour. Like, you pay $25 each. And for 3 hours, that's much less bang for your buck than when you got 8 hours. And then we went to the planetarium because it was in there, and it's part of the pay of the ticket. You got free planetarium show.
Okay.
It's pretty lame. Don't do planetariums.
Yeah.
Did you see all the planeteers?
Just the heart.
Just
heart? That's heart. That was how lame it was. No. Just heart.
That sucks. I mean, he's the one that doesn't have the job.
Dude, I remember there was one episode, speaking of fucking 80s cartoons, because that's apparently the thing, is one episode where they, like, let him do his thing,
yeah.
And he's a god.
Sure.
Because Hart consists of, like, he'd point his ring at somebody and be like, do my bidding. Because he would make them in their heart want to... He was Kilgrave. He was fucking Kilgrave from Jessica Jones. And it's like, this guy is his own thing, but instead the guy's got fire and that's enough.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's all I got. Milwaukee Public Zoo's cool, but you know, don't double feature it with the zoo, with the museum.
Yeah, the last time I went to the museum, I remember when I was a kid, you loved seeing the dinosaurs.
Yeah,
and seeing them the last time I went, it was like they're all like falling apart.
No.
Like,
they redid.
Oh, did
so,
they redo them all now?
Because they repaired the dinosaurs.
Well, it's hard to keep them together because you know they're bones.
Yeah,
yeah. And I'm Ben Stiller does not do well at night.
They repaired,
guarding that.
Well, that's the other thing, Ben Stiller. Because I kept talking about him. So they repaired all the dinosaurs, and they also repaired Old Milwaukee, the streets of Old Milwaukee,
right.
Including repairing all the people in there. So they are fresh now and freaky as shit because they are like human-looking wax sculptures.
We will have to take the kids at some point because when I went to saw the dinosaurs and like there's like just chips of the
they're brand new
whatever they did to
What they did have that you may remember from like 30 fucking years ago is they used to have a claymation little movie of like a T-Rex rampaging and all the other dinosaurs running away, and it's like Play-Doh. It's straight up like Play-Doh with no structural support. That shit was playing in one of the corners, and I was so happy to see they still had that shitty movie from when I was like 5 years old.
Yeah,
I haven't been there at least a century. I know I have not been there this century at all.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's been like 17 years. There's nothing much going on.
I'm watching videos of red pandas.
Aren't they adorable? Did you see the guy like stomp his boot and the panda flips out and falls down? Man. That's a good one.
Oh my god.
Like these things exist in the wild somehow.
Why don't we have one in the house right now? Like,
right?
Why doesn't everyone just have red pandas pets? I've never seen one of these before.
Just look up Red Panda Snow.
Yeah, that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, he's trying to stand. But little trivia, Sifu is a red panda. Sifu from the Kung Fu Panda series is officially a red panda.
I don't know Kung Fu Panda.
You never seen any of the Kung Fu Pandas?
I've seen the first one. I have not seen any of the others.
The Dustin Hoffman, his master,
is
a red panda. Yeah, that makes sense.
I didn't really
even uses the cuteness at one point in the movie to get his way.
Yeah, no, I've seen all three of them. They're okay. They're all fun.
Arctic Circle, discuss theme forces? ?
Yeah. Are there new ones? Somebody asked last time, and they were like, hey, the things with the Adepticon. And I was like, yeah, and? So
yeah,
there's no
new theme forces. I mean, there's the I think the all of them got released from the Kidder book. That's coming out like next week, I think.
Is there a Red Panda one?
No. A Red Panda theme force, sure.
Yeah. Yep, for Scorn. It's legit.
Look at that guy jumping in the snow. He's so cute. So, yeah, imagine those fucking Brian. That's what I almost got to see. They would have been so bad at it. Like, they would have been worse than me.
Regular pandas are pretty much
that
way,
too. I've
seen
those videos.
Yeah.
Baby regular pandas are a whole new level of just goofy.
There's no such thing as baby giant pandas. And that's why I hate giant pandas.
I guess they're always kind of just stupid.
Well, they're always stupid.
Even when they grow older. No, but
hate them.
Well, I remember seeing like a shot of like a gal that was trying to clean their cage.
Yeah.
And it would just come up and just attack her, or just grab onto her leg, and then she would pick it up, put it over onto a tree, and then walk away. The thing would just slowly fall out of the tree and then come after her, latch onto her leg, and then she would walk with it back over to the tree, put it back. Yeah.
Giant pandas are fun and adorable, and they're all morons, and they fall out of trees, and they sneeze, and the other one falls out of a tree because they're surprised, and they're like just incompetent idiots. But I hate them because like seals are dying off because like we're heating up the oceans, you know, and like sharks are dying off because we're killing them because we want literally tasteless soup, and instead of just not putting stuff in the soup because nothing doesn't taste like nothing, we murder sharks to get their fins that taste like nothing. Like, that's terrible. Pandas are dying off because they just refuse to have sex. And you know what?
Also destroying
their
environment as well, too.
Yeah, well, they can do it a little bit.
Well, they don't do it in captivity is the big thing.
I think they just don't do it much at all. I think they just, don't have predators, and so they have one baby a century, but just fucking do it.
Yeah. The ones that do it more often will be the ones that survive.
Which does not include giant pandas.
No. So Travis is asking us if we played any of the Grimkin at all.
I haven't seen people play Grimkin other than like the first 2 weeks.
Dan was playing them.
But yep. Yeah, the first 2 weeks, and he got, everyone got them when they came out. They did them during the first cycle or the first like play test, and then people still like them, but they just went back to their factions. Like locally, there hasn't been anyone.
It's difficult to proxy an entire army and then get the feel of that army. I think that was probably the issue on our side here.
There was the guy I saw online. I almost bought him, but he had a Litgo base of the entire army, like with engraved on them what they were and arc marks, which it's not, you know, attractive, mm-hmm. but it gets around the, well, these long gunners are these, and these guys are that.
Just aesthetic.
Yeah. There's no aesthetic, but at least you can keep track. The issue here is, I think for several of us, is Adepticon, right? And so we wanted to, like, practice our armies mm-hmm. or whatever. Or either you weren't playing, but, you know, prepare for who's the boss or whatever. I was practicing for Masters and Team Tournament. You know, Brian just wasn't playing at the time. Nobody will play with you.
Because you live in the middle of nowhere.
I live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this summer, maybe. After the play is over.
Yeah. As long as you don't get dragged into a new one.
I won't.
Say that every time.
I know. Like... This time my wife dragged me in, and she's like, yeah, you were right. You were totally right not to do this. And I'm like, yeah, just remember that.
Why? Is it just like a really incompetent community theater, or
isn't that kind of
the thing? Here's the thing. It's community theater, so yes.
Sure.
But then the other thing is, in this particular instance, actually the last two plays we've been in, they need someone to kiss on stage. So it's easier, especially if you're in a small community, get a husband and wife who act. We're kind of like I shouldn't say a unicorn, but I'm just saying it's pretty rare to find a husband and a wife who are willing to act on stage and make out and do all this other stuff. And Jen and I apparently are willing to do that. So we got stuck in this one, too, because we get to make out on stage.
Like,
so that's really it.
Do they know that acting means that it's not real?
Yes. But so, it's still
so you can just
get all right.
These are very graphically makeout sessions.
This is also I'm very not small saying
it's
town
a,
too.
A graphic makeout session. It's just if you get like you know if I was making out with well one of my co-stars is one
well,
of my
you keep
ex-girlfriends
saying making out. Like, yes. Is it hand up shirt tongue down throat hardcore grinding?
No.
Well, I mean, like,
no.
If so, I mean,
that, I mean, then we have a lot more people showing
all
up.
All plays are not like that.
Well, I'm just I'm trying to find that the plays I go to are. But I'm just saying, like, there's a point of professionalism, you know? Like, whatever. We have to kiss. Like, mm-hmm. not every, like...
So the audience that they...
I get it, but, like I said, it's a small-town community. Yeah. Not a ton of people try out.
Then have plays where you don't have to make out.
Well, this one's really funny,
though.
How many
makeouts do you need in unnecessary farts?
Three. Three is the correct number, apparently.
Comedy comes in threes. That is a true
thing.
So the farts, evidently.
Yes.
Because Brian just farted.
No.
I hope only three of us did. Otherwise, we ruined the comedy.
I just triple farted.
Oh, no! Me too!
Well, then someone else has to triple fart because it's three triple farts.
I would 1-2 shit my pants. So somebody else has got to
finish it.
Now somebody has to shit their pants twice.
Or not just two other people shit their pants and then we're fine.
Too late. Nobody shit your pants. We'll go to four.
Wow. Fell apart. Just all fell apart.
Where did it fall apart?
It never really started, I guess, so.
So what made Brian decide to play War Machine again? Did you just run out of video games to play? Or
well, a lot of the games I'm playing are slowing down, and I want to get some games in, and everyone else just refuses to stop playing War Machine, so... I mean, Andy has a smart way. He just goes down and hangs out and assembles miniatures all the time, so he's there, you know, and he's assembling miniatures, so he has an excuse not to play. And I don't have miniatures assembled, so I should just buy more things and just sit down there and assemble things. Like, I'd play, but I got to assemble this miniature.
No, but you always give your shit to me to assemble.
I know.
So that doesn't work. So you can supervise me assembling your miniatures down at the game store.
We might have to go down that route. But, someone said Disgusting Force. I think I complained about it, but I don't like them. That's my discussion point. Ugh.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. Yeah, we've had a lot of theme parks discussed.
I mean, I play Signar, so for me, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm taking all that anyway. Well, yeah. So
unless you're playing Halo 3, right?
Unless I'm playing Halo 3, which I don't own,
so there you go. I'm not so playing you just
it. And I mean, I'm also excited. Yeah. Scorn's getting the new models next month. The book is next month. There's a lot of like fun things coming.
Book is next month.
Scorn's book is in May.
Wait, what?
That's what somebody told me. They could be wrong.
Yeah, I thought it was pushed to the full end of the cycle.
Morgul 3.
Yeah.
And
his escorts.
The escorts are out next month. So are the two Reavers are out next month. And that's really odd. So maybe it's not the book. Maybe the book might be later in the year, but someone told me those are out next month. And they just said, why in the book? And I'm like, well, I don't know about that. That's true. But it was John. John tells me stuff all the time, and he just makes things up. But I believe him. He's sometimes right, so I just believe everything he says. I just assume. I figure Travis would tell us if we're wrong, because he knows the release schedule.
Travis can't tell us.
Well, I mean, if there's a book on the schedule,
if it's on the schedule,
schedule, but I have no idea.
Well, I could look that up. I mean,
it's complicated. It's hard to do. You have to find a web page. But no,
I just find it funny that you're all of a sudden just random. Brian's playing Wednesday.
Well, and it's like Jim's like, I got to play once a month. It's like you don't want to like I want to hang out with everybody. It's like everyone who plays War Machine is full of a lot of great people.
Sure.
And you want to hang out with the cool people. I mean, we have a lot of douchebag locals, but that just happens.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, they know they're douchebags. It's not a shock. I mean, every comedian has a couple douchebags.
Anybody locals. You want to name in yeah. particular? Or?
No. They know who they are. I'm looking at you. But anyway, but I just, you know.
Arctic Circle just said Travis isn't in Twitch, but Travis said something four lines up.
Yeah.
Did he quit? Did he leave? Why did he leave us? He might have left. Yeah. That's hurtful.
I made Travis an admin so people can't see him.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Go ahead, you were talking.
I don't know. But I don't know. I'm just give it a go again. Plus, I mean, I do like Scorn. I mean, they're neat. I have been really busy with other video games. I mean, it comes down to like what, like it comes down to a Wednesday. Like, what would be more interesting for me to do? Play a video game, watch TV, do nothing, or play War Machine? And for a lot of those weeks, it was like all the other choices just were more interesting to me. But the people are nice, and I kind of miss some of the people I hang out with. So I'm going to go down and, you know, play a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I really want to start playing an army. I just haven't really settled down. I haven't really wanted to play an army for a while. I don't want to take on Signar and its 15 million Stormlances.
There's a lot of really dull things that exist in the game that just don't interest. Like, there's just things that I find very gimmicky, which are fine, but I just also find it very boring. And I'm just like, with my limited time, I don't really want to deal with that.
Sure.
In a tournament, it happens. It's part of the game, and I get that. But like in my free time, and me and Jim have the same problem where when we don't play enough, and you sit down and you lose to something gimmicky, it's frustrating because you don't play enough. You don't stay into the loop of what the gimmicks are. When you're playing weekly and you're going to tournaments monthly, you kind of see, okay, that caster has that gimmick, this caster has that gimmick. But when you sit down, you play just a little bit, you miss some of those gimmicks, and then you lose to it. And I'll say me, Jim, and Jordan all have this arrogance to us that when we lose to someone who we know is worse than us, but they got us because of a gimmick and they get cocky about it, it's hard not to punch them in the throat.
Sure.
Are any of those people still alive, though? I mean, I know your response to things. I don't know what Jordan would do, but...
I mean, Jordan, he just stops
Jordan
playing.
Jordan just stops playing.
Yeah. Well, it's like, and that's why Jordan always played, and that's why Jordan played Doom Reavers in Mark 3, because he, in Mark 2, because he knew Doom Reavers could beat Crix a decent amount of the time, and whenever he didn't play... When he played something else, nothing bothered him when some like random noob would beat him with Crix just because it was Crix and over his faction was better. And it drove him fucking insane when somebody that wasn't good. Because, I mean, there are good players and there are bad players. When you're playing someone, you can sometimes tell when they're good or bad. Because sometimes someone's like, knowing when you're against the ropes and when you know you have to go for that long odds and you get it, that's one thing. But sometimes people are like, oh, I could... They just go for this long odds for no reason whatsoever, and they get it, and they think they're proud about it. That's what just, you know, it's like they do this 10% assassination run on turn two when there was 90 other things they could have done, and then they get lucky and get it, and they think they're clever. It's like, no, you just are terrible at everything, but you got your 1 in 10.
Yep.
But they don't know that.
Yep. And you can't point that out because I won.
Yeah.
So obviously it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And then they lose the rest of the day. They go, well, you know, I don't know what happened. I was so close every game. They're the same people who lose to good players all the time and go, man, I was so close. Well, you probably were close because the other person, when you know people who aren't good, you let them get close because you know they'll make so many fucking mistakes so many times. So they go, oh, man, I had him against the ropes. Like, you never had him against the ropes. Or I killed 90% of his army and I lost to a scenario. Well, that's because they knew on turn two you were going to lose a scenario. So they fed you 90% of the army. But you're just too stupid to know that. And they are, yeah, they are too stupid to know that. Cause some people learn and they talk about it, but there's a percentage of people just unwilling to get smart.
Yeah.
Or they don't care. They don't want to get smart, and that's fine, too.
I'm a little worried about 2017 SR because a significant portion of my wins are from feeding people 90% of my army the right way. Like, that's one of my preferred play styles.
I do that a lot, yeah.
I've noticed that more and more. Like, I knew I would do it occasionally, and I've kind of, not really strictly, but subconsciously kept track of how often I do that. And more than half of my wins are scenarios where I just let myself get tabled slowly.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, this flank is crumbling, so I just shift the table 90 degrees and then just score this flag four times.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how that's going to change with 2017.
Yeah. Or even killbacks, like, oh, man, it's 30 minutes is gone, and he managed to kill a model. I'm just going to just feed him my army now because I know he can't. If it took him 30 minutes to kill that model, even if he speeds up, there's no way he can kill the rest of my army.
Or death clock, you mean?
Yeah, death clock. And I'm not even saying making a span list, but some people play so slow, you're like, well, I'm just going to just keep throwing a few models at him. Because that person doesn't understand time.
Yep. Oh, man. If you and your partner are competent and on the same wavelength, you are guaranteed to win your first round at the Adepticon Teen Tournament. Because 90% of the people who go there are like, oh, this will be fun. And they just go there and they spend 20 minutes talking per turn without even touching models.
It's
like, all right, we got this game locked.
It is the most thinly veiled, uncasual game type.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Everything about the team tournaments feels like it should be just, hey, this is going to be fun. We're going to play with these two teams, and they're not going to really work together, blah, blah, blah. And it turns out that that's the most cutthroat tournament of Adepticon.
I'm not even talking about the power level. I'm talking about Chuck and I, our first game at Adepticon. Yeah. We went second. Our opponents went and they took, I think, 20 minutes to do their first turn. Their first turn. Like, literally just run your models forward. They took 20 minutes to do that. We took a 5, maybe 10-minute turn.
Yeah.
They took 25 minutes, tried to kill some shit, and failed because we baited them into bad stuff.
Sure,
yep. And then wanted to resign. And Chuck's like, dude, no, we're taking our turn. Like, we've gotten to play 6 minutes. We've been sitting here for an hour. Let us kill your casters. And then we kill the casters, but it's like, no. We've sat here for a fucking hour.
When I play against Jordan, nothing gives me more fun than play a turn, play the second turn, and then forfeit. When I give him like 3 minutes to play, because he gets so mad.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I want to play. Nope, you win. I'm out. He's like, son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. It was so, so painful. It's like, we've been here an hour, and we've played 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's my goal for basically when 2017.
Play 5 minutes.
Yeah, SR 2017, when that actually hits, I really want to start playing more tournament stuff.
I will be playing. I will definitely be playing. If some unforeseen thing happens this week, next Wednesday is the CID starting for 2017. I will be down there playing for sure.
Yep.
Because I'm very excited about that.
They're going to buff the TEP finally.
I mean, are those the Battle Legends? But that's like 3 weeks.
That's a week after, I think.
Because we're going to see
son of a bitch.
Because it's 2 weeks, we're going to see Steamroller with a couple things, and the week after that, the Battle Engines and then the Banes are coming somewhere.
Crix Steam Force are at the same time as Battle Engines.
Or just the Bane Thrall, or the Bane models are going to get
it's
tweaked.
It's the Crix Bane Theme Force.
Oh, I thought you said Banes in general.
Yeah, but it's probably not for the command book, because that's already out.
Gotcha.
Or that's coming out.
I'm
but it's
sitting
for
on
the...
my hand, so I don't just pick that thing up and chuck it.
Yeah, beep, God beep. Damn it.
Yeah.
Stop playing with it on the table.
Yeah.
But
so,
I'm excited. I really like the CID process a lot. I love it. I love the CID process.
I do, too. It got really concerning for me this morning. I happened upon the Kator forums.
Yeah.
And somebody had posted a... God damn it, Nathan. I mean, I don't like it, but it is mine.
It was sent to the podcast.
What? I thought it was specifically for me.
Well, sure. Maybe. You're the one who was funniest to make open.
Yeah. God damn it. But no, I ended up seeing a shot of my PDF.
Yeah.
That I made for the CID, with somebody posted a screenshot of that PDF onto the Kator forums talking about the official rules for Old Witch 2.
Well, you know, it's an easy play to do. Although, yeah. I don't know why they would just take it from the actual PDF that's
I don't know. Somebody took a screenshot of it. And funny thing is they took it from their phone. So their gaming group, for their local gaming group, had the Privateer symbol as the local gaming group. So it looked like it was stamped officially with Privateer's logo on it. So I was like, why is this on there? And like, this should not be even shown as official. And then somebody had said, it was like, well, somebody's been taking Photoshops of all the other stuff. They did it all for the Grimkin. I'm like, yes, that was me who did all that.
Who got permission to do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Facebook faction forums, did you guys see that thread in the Legion forum?
Yeah, I won trophies. I know everything now.
There's a debate. No, I didn't. There was a debate going on, and one of the guys literally posted pictures of his steamroller trophies. He's like, you still want to argue that I'm wrong?
And wow.
It's like, it's like the guys who like glue their models to like their models to their figures or try to like be.
Put the bases.
The old
coins as the base.
The old Cav, the Crix Cav. I remember that event. Yeah,
winning doesn't mean you know more.
No,
especially funny. Like, you know, he's arguing against people who are WTC players who have like won world championships, and he's like taking a picture of a, you know, little cardboard thing from his local game store's six man tournament.
Total troll.
I think one was a Crucible at least. I mean that's
okay.
That's you know.
You know what?
That's a,
maybe
that's
he's.
A, I don't care. Bigger event. You can be Jake Van Meter if the thing you're saying is wrong. The thing you're saying is wrong. Like you probably aren't going to be wrong, but once you're wrong, I don't care who you are.
Yeah. Well, also, if you're no matter who you are, I don't care who they are. If they go, well, I'm right because I won all these events. That's an irrelevant argument. Like I don't care if Jake said it or if anyone would have been who said it. Anyone who goes to that level is a fucking tool, regardless of who they are. And I mean, they weren't the ones who did it, but I'm saying,
yeah.
No one can be like, well, I won the WTC, so I'm right. No, it means you were a good player. Doesn't mean you're right here.
I would know.
Yeah, I would know.
Yeah.
So weren't you just saying we were talking about faction forums, like which ones are
you mean Facebook threads?
Facebook threads.
Well, they're on
which
forums,
ones are
so there's
nicer? And I thought Legion, was one of the nicer ones.
Basically, the guy who did post that is some other folks came to his defense, so said that he's actually a really nice guy from what they said.
Sure,
and it really
That's not
didn't
how
really
you win
mean
an
it.
Argument.
He didn't
by
really
taking
mean it
pictures
to be
of your trophies.
Yeah, I don't think he really meant it to be like that, but yeah, from what I heard from folks, it seems like the Protectorate forum and the Legion forum are probably the nicest.
Minion one's good. Minions has always been good because they're the redheaded stepchild. Like no, you know, there's no ego. There's nothing there.
I mean, all those things probably have their good days and bad days.
Yeah, I haven't paid attention to like Signar at all because I'm
there all the time because I have nothing else to do at work. And I haven't played Mark III at all, so I just assembled my battle box today. So but yeah, I don't know. There's, you know, people come in and say, yeah, I did this. And then someone jumps in half the time and says, well, that's stupid. And that's shit. Why are you running this and not running, you know, this would be much better. But I don't know how bad that is because I'm not on other Facebook groups. So
both of my factions are pretty good. The Convergence and the Minion ones are fairly straightforward. Somebody in chat asked if this was Rodimus Prime. So yes. Yes, it is. He is the official Crippled System mascot. Rodimus Prime, the primiest of primes. I can't remember how to open this, but I'm assembling it so that the guy can... How does this one open?
Here.
Do those come to the side? Oh, yeah, there we go.
I don't think you really want to give that to Andy.
That comes up.
No, I assembled and played with him first on the podcast.
What's weird to me, it feels like there should be like handlebars that go in there because he's got his hand.
They didn't have safety mechanisms or handlebars back in the 80s.
That's true.
It's better when Om Nom is driving that anyway.
Om Nom Nom. There we go. There's a Scorn Hitler thing apparently too. Who knows? The Scorn memes Facebook thing is different from the Scorn Facebook section. Like that's a different thing.
That thing is almost dead in the water too.
Sure, but the Scorn meme one, somebody made a Pepe Frog Scorn meme where they like made him look like a pain giver and whatnot. And you know, the issue is that Pepe's already been co-opted. So now you were just taking a racist far right Aryan supremacy meme and slapping it in your Facebook group, and that gets sticky.
Yeah. So May releases, you have some Protectorate stuff. No books in May, it looks like.
And then the person I did John was just wrong.
Yep. No books. There's the, some of the scoring models are coming out then, but
is there no quarter in me?
Yeah, no quarter 72. In June is basically when the Retribution books release. Yeah, that's basically it.
I hope 72 has a Convergence theme force. Because everybody else is getting books.
Yeah.
I need a second theme force.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have something soon.
Isn't
Operation Destruction? What is...
Destruction Initiative.
Isn't that basically Carrier Group?
Or... I mean, it's... No. No. Okay. I mean, it's similar to Carrier Group in that you get a lot of servitors. It's just Carrier Group did it by having your Prime Axioms drop 3 the first turn instead of 1.
Oh, okay.
And so Iron Mother under Destruction Initiative is almost exactly like Iron Mother and Carrier Group. But for the other people, it's different. It's just that since I'm the only local Convergence player and I only play Iron Mother right now...
Yeah.
Locally, it looks like it's just Carrier Group.
I was going to say, basically, when I see you playing it, I'm like, oh, it's basically the same thing I saw in Mark 2.
For her, it is true. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, no, I thought I remember them saying when the Scorn got their big change, that they pushed the book back to the very end of the cycle.
I thought it was originally her due, so when someone told me May, I was like, wow. But they might have just thought the book was maybe because of Morgul 3 and the other stuff coming out, so they might have just assumed that.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, Morgul 3 would be exciting. I mean, a new caster is always fun.
I cannot wait to... I want to own 2 Hellslingers. Is he a character? The Hellslinger... Pistol Wraith?
I don't know.
He looks awesome. He's
no Lord Longfellow.
He's pretty awesome, too.
Lord Longfellow shoot him in his stupid face.
He's got 360 vision.
Yeah.
But he only can shoot in his front arc anyway. Yeah.
Nobody can shoot backwards anymore, I don't think. Yeah. Can they?
No, you still have front arc.
Yeah, front but there's a rear attack. I know 360 doesn't grant it, but I think there's a second rule that lets you attack in your back.
Potential. I don't know if there's a rule. If Travis, if you know a rule,
it's called something. Like back attack or something.
Yeah.
Back attack, whack.
Back blast area clear.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to say before you fire a rocket launcher. You're supposed to yell out back blast area clear.
Fair.
It seems a horrible thing to do is to give somebody a tongue twister to yell out to protection from people behind you.
Rubber baby, rubber baby, bungle bungle, rubber wiggle wiggle, and the tank is just coming towards you the whole time.
Shenanigans.
50-some minutes.
You won.
So far.
Yeah, we're getting it. I was looking up War Room to see what the name of that ability where you can attack out of your butt is.
Oh.
Butt attack has a special name. It's called butt attack.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll find it. Hellslinger is FAC, says 90.
Okay, so I can only get one of them. He is a really cool looking model, though.
He is? I heard he's pretty cool on the table. Green was playing and doing some crazy stuff with him.
Somebody at Pegasus had a copy of him on Wednesday. I don't remember who.
That one guy. It was the one guy at Peg had him.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's
his name? That one guy.
That one guy had him.
That one guy. Know. At Peg.
Yeah. That guy.
That guy.
Yeah. What was his name, Chris?
I don't remember.
Was he that guy?
I think he was that guy.
That guy.
At Peg. It was Peg, right? I mean, we're... Okay. Yeah. Just want to make sure.
So what's the latest movie you've seen, Chris?
Space Jam is 37%.
Rogue One.
What?
Rogue One.
I haven't seen a movie since
Rogue One. Because you were here last time.
Yes, and we talked about Rogue One, and that destroyed my interest in seeing any movies after just that. Just
because Rogue One was so bad, was you had so no bad, idea.
I couldn't see another one.
I think it's obviously better than Logan.
I don't see a lot of movies. Like last year, I told Andy the 3 movies I saw were Deadpool. Wait,
did you say it was better than Logan?
Oh, by far.
Such an obvious troll that you undid it. You needed to do something more believable.
I think Logan is okay. To me, Logan is a solid B+. I'm just saying, I've been watching Rogue One a fuck ton this last week. Just enjoying. Why? Because it's an amazing film.
We were 50 minutes into the podcast. We could just not kill each other right now. It'd be just great. So,
you like the part where characters with no backstory did things that didn't matter?
It made no sense. Hold on. First of all, I want to apologize for the fans of the Lost Aspect podcast because they had 3 folks ready to do a podcast today, and I canceled it. because I wanted to do stuff with my friend Chris.
Well, I'm glad you canceled. We would have been we would have been denied one game of Gloomhaven, possibly more. Well, one we would have lost at least one Gloomhaven game. So I'm glad we got to play it three times. So
yeah.
I'm glad you canceled it.
I enjoy playing Gloomhaven more than I give a shit about random people on the internet watching a podcast. So I'm personally in favor of you canceling.
We were going to go see
Logan. I was also in favor of you canceling this one. I could have played more Gloomhaven.
Well, you could go back and play more Gloomhaven.
No, Brian goes to sleep at like 7:30.
Yeah, it is bedtime.
Oh, wow. I'm not that old. I mean, I'm old, but I'm not.
I was up to like midnight last night, so I've been up late.
I was up till midnight on Friday night. I went to the Brewers-Cubs game.
I've been trying to enjoy this week because my next 2 to 3 weeks of work are going to be just goddamn intense. So I have to like I'd enjoy my time because I'm going to a dark couple weeks of work.
I might be, but I don't know yet.
Oh, it's
you lost Jake at work.
Yeah, I also might be losing me at work.
What?
I haven't seen yet.
What? What'd you do?
It's not me. There's a store in Menominee Falls that the store and assistant manager both are no longer at the company suddenly and sure. You know, not by their choice.
Sure.
And the district manager told me that I should take that store.
You should.
Well, the store is in bad shape, though. Do you want that kind of like?
I don't know that the store is in bad shape. Like, I think that the store might be in good shape. Yeah. It's just that the store manager and the assistant manager were embezzling funds from it.
Oh.
So if that's the situation where it's a good store, well, that's just my income gets doubled and, you know, life is good.
That would be something you'd have to get a separate car for. Because, I mean, driving from Fitchburg to there.
Raylene would transfer to the...
Yeah.
To the, there's like two Shopko's within 7 minutes of Menominee Falls.
Yeah.
I would move.
Yeah. It would be brutal otherwise.
Yeah, I'm not going to drive an hour and a half there and an hour and a half back. Because Menominee,
like, if it was...
Fuck, you're going to be hanging around with Travis even more then.
Well, Menominee Falls is not even...
I drive... through Menominee Falls every single like, day Menominee to get to
Falls,
work. So.
Menominee Falls is the worst place. Even though he doesn't know me or like me. Menominee Falls is the worst part of Milwaukee to get you from here. Like, if it was Waukesha,
right.
You could work around it. But yes. Yeah, Menominee Falls literally is the worst possible distance-wise.
Is it like on the north?
Yeah.
Yes. Northwestern side or something like that in Milwaukee?
Yeah, it's north. Yeah, it's northwestern, exactly. Okay. It's northwestern like
when you go
side.
When you go to Milwaukee from Mayville, you'd always drive right by Menominee Falls and be like, yeah. Whatever.
I remember driving there.
I lived there for I lived there for 4 or 5 years. I love Menominee Falls. Great place.
They got some good places. They got
But it's
We'll see because my current district manager is from Madison West, and then that's a different district manager. And the fact that this district manager, like if it was in her district, I would have the job already. Like she'd be like, "Hey, you should have it." But I don't know if the other guy loves me that much.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll apply. But I might not get it.
I'm sure Raylene's been there long enough, so transfer should be easy for her.
Oh, yeah. A week ago, it was at her 19th anniversary.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
I mean, she hasn't hit the even 20 yet, but it doesn't fucking matter. She'd be able to transfer. Because they actually have an opening for her exact job in one of the stores anyway, so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, whatever.
That'd be exciting.
No.
Sorry. But, hey, an hour and a half's not too far to drive for podcasting.
Yeah, that's fine.
At least not on my weekends off. So alternate podcasts at the very worst.
Yeah.
I mean, come up with money for Gloomhaven would be kind of...
But you know, that's how... You know, I'll just have to make sure I get off of work at 3:30 and make it there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, good news, Andy. They might need a fourth for Gloomhaven.
I'm not going to take over your good character.
Oh, no. I don't have a good character.
He meant good campaign because we're there for a second. It's good campaign.
Oh, good as in, yeah, nice. Yeah.
So remember, Andy, when we start in August,
Evil.
Yeah.
Evil,
we're fighting the guards.
You get tricked, though. It's like, hey, those guys are having a drug deal. I'm going to steal all their drugs. And they're like, you caught them, plus 17 goodness points. It's like, no!
The challenge is you always want to make the city better, because the city being better is really important for like what you can buy when you start with new characters and all these kind of things. You never want to risk the prosperity of the city.
And you got to do evil in subtle ways, like throwing a pie-eating contest.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound evil at all.
Well, you know, that's how it works. Because this is choose your... It's not like, do you knife a nun to death or do you feed some puppies some happy fun food and save their lives? It's, do you lose a pie-eating contest?
It's reputation. Like, it's not necessarily...
It's not goodness, bad news. It's how much people know you and respect you.
Yeah.
And so there's no like, you know, I win the pie-eating contest, but I murder everybody by poisoning their pies, and that's how I win it, so I'm evil.
No,
you won the contest, so everybody likes you. up, up, up.
And mission choices do definitely. I mean, there's like there's mission choices that will impact it, but they're also random events. It's a combination of things.
Yeah. But I guess it's not necessarily liked and disliked. It's not necessarily good and evil. It's liked and disliked.
Yeah. Which is fair.
You know, games don't let you be evil and liked very often. You don't get to trump it up.
You know, we see that for reality.
Woohoo! Darkest Continuum.
Yeah. Indeed. All right. Zappity.
I don't know if we have any Zappity Grumbles. I didn't even tweet anything out for this.
Why did you even tweet anything?
I forgot.
I had a tweet now.
I had all day yesterday. I had all day yesterday that I could have said something, but I was playing WoW with my good friend Chris pretty much most of the day yesterday. Not all day.
Not all day. I was gone a lot.
Yeah.
He met his other friend, Chris.
I'm
telling you.
I got another artifact.
Everyone's having fun in WoW, and poor Brian.
You should give it a go, Brian.
I gave it Seriously. 3 days of my effort, and I was like, meh.
Yeah.
Gave what?
And we had the us got together, and we went through a zone and cleared it out. It was fun.
If I can only have the energy, like, I can play only one game I'm mediocrely interested in. Like, if I have to play a game I'm half-hearted into, I can do War Machine, but I can't also pretend to enjoy a video game for the company. I can't do both for the company.
That's true.
WoW has actually been really good, this expansion. I've
enjoyed the story quite a bit.
A lot of people have liked this expansion more than most expansions. So I get that. It's just, for whatever reason,
it is still kind of grindy, and it's...
But games like... I get sucked into games like Event Horizon Dawn so much more, because it's just like...
Event Horizon Dawn?
Event Horizon. I call it Event
Horizon. Turn into a horror. Everything into
it. Or Resident Evil 7. I just love stories that have beginnings and ends, and like, can, you know...
Yeah, no, I agree. And I've kind of stopped trying to recruit everybody I know into playing WoW. I understand that it's not for everyone.
Well, plus it's time for you to play, because so many nights a week I'm playing board games or other things, and I not the kind of person who can play WoW twice a night and really enjoy that. Like, for me, I would need to play WoW 7 days a night, 7 weeks, you know, 7 days a week to really enjoy it, or 6 days or five.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much gave up any TV watching that I did.
And I still, I have to like $20 to $30 of TV to watch on top of my everything else. It's TV viewing is a part-time job for me. It's very difficult to stay current.
I'm catching up on Supergirl and The Flash now. So I'm almost caught up on those.
There you go. Legends is done.
Do we know when the CW shows are coming to Netflix? Like, they're going to be released on Netflix? CW
comes to Netflix. They have a deal.
Yeah.
Almost within a week to 2 weeks when it's done, it's on the air.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you'll see the new season of Legends of Tomorrow on Netflix probably in the next 2 weeks for sure.
Okay.
And then May is when most of the shows end in May. So by June, you'll see all be there in June.
And then they'll be like that 2 week release thing, won't they? Won't they just be on Netflix? Because I think, didn't they sign an exclusive deal? I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to the decals.
Well, the CW, you can watch the CW app is free to everybody, and you can watch it in the CW app whenever you want.
I didn't see that.
And it still works.
Yeah.
Too. It's not like so old and warped that it doesn't work. Yeah, I know. You know what that symbol means? He sucks. That's what that symbol means. I didn't even need to press it to know that.
You can suck his hot rod.
Yeah.
So no Zappity Grumbles, we should go to...
Arctic Circle says he thinks he posted one in chat. I didn't see one in scrolling. Well, you should
respond it. Tell us what it is.
Repost it.
I'm too lazy to scroll.
To scroll.
Yeah.
He has the power.
Yeah.
He has the touch!
Unless he closed the window before.
He's got the power! He closed the window of the chat that he's currently in, telling us that he posted a question in the chat.
He might have left me back.
I was looking up Rodimus Prime Trivia on my phone, but then I forgot.
Yeah. Cool story, bro.
Yeah. Here's another cool story is Limburger cheese is bad.
It's not good.
Yeah. We all ate some so that we could cross off our bucket list. Then I fed a piece to my dog, and then an hour later, she vomited.
That's also
very true. We're playing the game, and I'm like, I smell Limburger again. And I look down, and there's just a giant pile of vomit next to my foot.
Oh, yeah. Why was your dog in your bathtub?
I told you. She was hiding from Diablo.
Yeah,
she doesn't like it when Raylene and I play Diablo. I don't know if it's the music or the explosion noises, or, you know, if she doesn't like me playing video games in general, because dogs can sense raw hatred and, you know,
and anger. Yeah,
when I get to controller snapping rage, she doesn't want to be there.
Really, Diablo does that for you?
No, Oh, but video games have done that. Like, she's seen me play, like, Super Meat Boy. And so now when I pick up the controller and turn on the PlayStation, she just leaves.
Oh.
And so, yeah, when Raleigh and I play Diablo, Kaya's just like, yeah, I'll be upstairs. And this time she was just in the toilet, or in the bathtub, just in there.
Wow. That's well trained. I wish my wife would teach her
to do that.
She just did it.
Oh, yeah.
You ever just go into the bathroom while you're playing video games?
Just leave. Just not even like, oh, he's on the video. I'm not going to bother him. That's what I want.
Well, I can TMI, but she won't listen, so I can get away with this. But mm-hmm. I think part of the reason she chose the bathtub is that she wanted to be near Raylene. And you'll note that the toilet is not visible in that photograph. Raylene was like, come look at your dog. And, and I'm like, I'm going to take a picture. She's like, don't get me in the picture. I'm like, well, duh.
I don't get it.
What did she do? She was peeing. Raylene is just off camera urinating into a toilet, that's as hilarious. People do.
I get it now.
Yeah, okay.
That's
yeah.
funny. Recommendations.
Brian's done.
Not Limburger. That's yeah. Recommendations already? He didn't. Oh, Zappity, what first drew you to miniature war games?
That's actually a pretty decent discussion.
Nothing better to do.
Not now, though.
We have talked for like half a fucking hour.
No, almost an hour. No,
we're an hour in.
That seems like a perfect time to end.
No, this is a nice big like.
It's a good.
We
question.
Can talk about for a little bit. So how I got into miniature games? I joined the army, and then I was stuck down at an army base, and then I played Magic: The Gathering, and then someone said, "Hey, we should play this game called Blood Bowl." And I'm like, "What the fuck is Blood Bowl?" And then I saw what Blood Bowl is, and then I bought my Undead team, and then I've been stuck into miniature games ever since. Which I still own that Undead team.
So I can segue off of this, because I moved to Madison and lived with my friends, Brian and Andy, and my friend Andy had this game, and it was called Blood Bowl. And I'm like, hey, there's some really cool elves, and I like elves, so I picked up the Dark Elf team. And that
when
was...
I moved to Menominee Falls, you're not invited.
Okay, fair enough.
Elf lover.
Fair enough.
Team Gimli.
I had a dwarf team too. My brother got a dwarf team, and then I had that forever.
The only, thing worse, than, it for the only me. Thing worse than elves in general is dwarves in Blood Bowl.
They are very.
They are.
Yeah, but anyway, that's how I got into. And then you know, Brian was into. We started playing Warhammer Fantasy, and that's yeah.
True.
The sad part, though, is when I play WoW, is I have to play with elves all the time. Yeah, Chris is playing an elf all the goddamn time.
Priest.
Of course, on from his perspective, he has to play with a tauren all the time.
So I don't get to see anything ever.
Yeah.
Because Andy's just in the way.
Yeah.
But
or a gnome. I'm to the extremes of the character classes in there. Either I'm really, really tiny or very, very big.
Here's a Warcraft, Worlds of Warcraft thing.
Yeah.
There's a guy at work showed me a video that he found amusing online of these people fighting the last boss. And there's all like, you know, explosions and people dying. And there's all kinds of crazy crap on the walls. And there's one guy just dancing directly in front of the boss. And it just says, like, getting carried. The thing. That's pretty funny.
People were paying for carries. I think Blizzard's hacking. Like, they're not allowing you to. Like, guilds would. Like, say, pay us 50,000 gold and we'll run you through this raid.
That's still happening, but they're not at that end content anymore. Yeah.
But you don't literally dance. You would at least, like, you know.
No, you could actually. Right. I mean.
You could, but you generally would want to at least go through the motions of helping.
Right.
This guy would not be standing in the bad. Yeah. I have found out one small thing. I know we're talking about WoW now, but I found out one weird thing about being a gnome in WoW. Is whenever I'm in a group for a dungeon, because I'm the tank, the healers can't find me. So you have ways that you can put little symbols onto people. So every time I end up going into a dungeon, I end up with a symbol above my head all the time. Because I assume because the healers can't see me to click on me because I'm tiny. Because it doesn't happen on my Tauren Warrior.
I would imagine healers wouldn't. See, that's so weird to me because I unless they have some sort of mouse over, usually healers use the bars. Like a healer looks at 15% of the screen.
Yeah, it's whack-a-mole.
Yeah, so I mean, but it's just those bars. So where you are should be the least. Unless it's like, you know, line of sight issues, there should be that where you are might should be part of
it. I just don't know because it happens all the time on my Gnome Warrior, but it never happens onto my.
I mean, so it has to be a line of sight thing. I just don't get why they're using line of sight because that's the worst way to heal someone is line of sight, to click on them. But there are mouse overs where if your mouse is over something, you press heal, it heals your mouse.
That doesn't work anymore, though, unfortunately.
They got rid of the mouse over here.
Yep. Jeez.
That seems pretty crazy. But anyway, we kind of glossed over. We didn't hear Nathan's response to the Zappity. Like, how did he get it? Or Brian's.
Brian's
but,
basically
this is similar to the Gnome thing, just as another offshoot of an offshoot. Just because Ridley and I are playing same screen co-op, Diablo.
Yep.
Yes.
And every once in a while, like, your character won't be responding, and it's not doing what you think, and like you're like, oh, wait, that's hers. And she'll do it the other way around. Like, she'll be like, why did I die? Like, you were standing in lava, and she's like, oh, I thought that I was you. And rarely, magically, it'll happen to both of us simultaneously, where we'll both just be angry at our characters because we're both watching the wrong person on the screen. It's just explosions and
don't
fire
you just
and
have
shit.
Your side, though? Like, I'm on this side of the screen, and...
Well, no, because like your health bar is
sure.
Your health bar is.
I think
but,
it's a dynamic split. So if they end up too far off the screen, they'll like one will suddenly be on the right side and one will be on the left side.
Okay. Like so, it's like a dynamic the screen's split. Here, and if I'm fighting guys on the left, she's on the right, and then we run to the middle and we're fighting shit, and then we go over here. Like we can kind of just lose track of our characters because the screen doesn't move.
Okay.
You know, I mean, the screen moves if we both go in a direction, but nobody's dead center and nobody's the left. It's not split.
Okay. Okay. That's what I was.
I thought dynamic. No, that was the thing. No, it's not split. It never splits ever.
Well, you two shouldn't be the same character class. That's
we aren't. It's just the thing with Diablo. Like, since DPS only matters, like the weapon doesn't matter. It's just the stat matters. And so, whether you're a witch doctor or barbarian, you're carrying around a giant axe and wearing, you know, a helmet. And so it's hard. There's a guy running around with a giant axe. Another one with a giant axe. It doesn't really.
Yeah, but witch doctors talk unintelligibly and throw spiders.
Yeah, and so both people are talking. So both characters are running around with giant axes and armor, and both characters are shouting unintelligibly. And you know, and when I'm doing witch doctor, one of us is a witch doctor, one of us is a monk. We're both talking about spirits, like it's just different fucking spirits. Yeah. And it's,
I'm not sure why or where it started, but my hatred for gnomes is so intense. Like I could get a migraine headache.
You're
if I
playing
about
a gnome in Gloomhaven.
It's not a gnome, it's a Quirtle.
Sure. I'm sorry. Is it like a 3.5 foot tall inventor? Taller. He's like a short inventor.
It's not a gnome. It's not a gnome.
I'm shocked about this actually because Brian
he has a little mechanical sidekick he builds and he has goggles and a wrench.
Yeah. It's a Quirtle.
So he's a gnome.
It is not a
gnome.
Oh,
my goodness. I can't wait.
It is not a gnome.
I can't wait till
I
get
home. I would never play. If it said gnome, I would have tore the character sheet up and thrown it in the garbage.
Wait until I get
so
home.
So it was just, he was so happy to have a loophole to play a gnome.
Send your
it's a Quirtle.
Gnome engineer pictures to Brian. Although he is really, you're not on Facebook because the last time I was here, you were off and now you're back on.
I just don't follow anything except for Nathan because Facebook refuses not to.
Okay,
and
I go
to everyone I know is paid like once a week, but otherwise I just use it for groups and events. So,
So we have Rodimus Prime and gnomes and almost anything. Like these are the things you can send to us to infuriate us.
Yeah.
Every guest person, we should just ask what needs to be mailed to us by a listener so that you can be filled with palpable rage, and we just have a checklist. Like, it's not even our names. We just like, hello, I'm Rodimus Prime. I'm Gnomes. I'm Michael Bay.
Or Mass Effect 3, really. It's either way.
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to hate more.
I'm really surprised that nobody has sent you, like, actual, like, their copy of Mass Effect 3 to watch you snap it in half on the podcast.
Because everyone has digital copies of everything now. Like, there is no physical copy.
Or they already snapped their copy of Mass Effect 3 in half because they hate it, too.
All right. I think I've asked you this off, you know, but what is it just because you... It's this game that tells you you're not on rails, and then at the end, it turns out you are on rails. Is that what has set you off on this whole...
checking his heart rate?
Yeah, checking the time.
I don't know. My
heart rate did go up to 90. I don't know if that's related. Between gnomes and Mass Effect 3. It's like just keep watching.
Is that what it is, though? I mean...
It is a lot... So, the short answer...
It undoes everything.
It undoes everything. The game does a point to where your actions usually result in things.
Yes.
So you get to the end, and none of that matters because it literally says pick three endings. And even if that was the case, maybe you could kind of surpass it. But like the game, like the core concept of the game is
that's the thing.
Aliens hate, the things that are attacking are coming, and they wipe out civilization every 200 million years because and they only leave primitive things alive because they evolve, and that usually for whatever reason, 200 million years later, they're creating AI, and they know because they almost lost to AI that AI will always turn evil, and they're saving us by killing us, is their logic. Sure. They're killing us before the AI kills us, mm-hmm. which
okay.
already is questionable, but whatever, that's their motive, and people are, you know, bad guys need to have a motive. One of the races during the game is an AI race. And they're kind of questionably good or bad the entire game. They're fighting, they're at a war with another race the entire series. In the third game, you can literally broker peace, and you can literally come to a place where AI, the AI side civilization is provably not, you can actually convince them not to do terrible things. And when you encounter the end people, you can't even use that information to your advantage. Like, if you get to the end and you didn't do those side missions that were kind of complicated, then I can see you giving options that didn't involve it. But if you were able to go down that route and make all those right choices and actually prove them wrong, it would have been nice to use.
To have it in. Well, it's kind of like that's a more egregious version of, like, in the original ending to Fallout 3, where I have a fucking robot sidekick that I went through side quests to get, and somebody needs to go into a poisonous room to push a button and save the world, and the game makes you commit suicide.
Yeah.
I have a robot, and my other sidekick is a super mutant who's immune to radiation.
Yeah.
Why is your railroaded ending undoing my side quest?
Because I have to press a button. So that's one problem. That's a huge.
I was just curious.
So there's three endings.
One ending
is pretty simple. You basically press a button, and all the attacking AI basically just self-destroy and die. And then what's interesting is based on how you did it and how fast you did it, because you're trying to save Earth. Earth could be or couldn't be wiped out completely based on how fast you did things. So that part's fine because, you know, whatever. All three endings, you have these. Whenever you traveled across the world, you travel these hyperpoints. At the end of 2, there was a DLC where you blew one of them up because the bad guys were coming sooner than anyone thought. And by blowing up this gate, they had to reroute themselves, and it would take another 6 months. But blowing up a gate killed the system it was in. So he had to make the decision of blowing up the gate, killing, you know, a few billion people that were on the planets in there, but it basically saved everybody else. In the third one, you blow up every single one of those. And one of the side effects is you kill the bad guys, it blows up every speed gate. And you're like, but if you blow up every speed gate in every civilization, you just killed everybody everywhere.
Yeah.
So that was a problem that they just, like, overlooked. And then one
they
of the...
They overlooked
so one,
the definition
so one ending,
of
one is kill all the bad guys. The other ending is kill all AI and they just leave. So you basically press a button, you kill all AI. So if you save that one race, you just kill them all. Your ship's an AI that you built this relationship as an AI. And there's some other things that are AIs you just kill. But that's so option B is kill all AI. You know, and I could see that being an option if you can improve AI was good. Option C is you come to a peace agreement where... Every human becomes part machine, and every machine becomes part human, because you decided so. So there's a robot walking around. Suddenly he's walking around and he grows a dick, and, you know, some person's just randomly walking around. And they just grow a robot. Their arm turns into, like, a robot arm. Like, you just press a button. Like, this every living thing becomes half and half. And that just seems like basically you rape everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was considered the really good version of the ending because everyone was happy together. But I can't see raping everything in existence as a happy ending. It was weird. And then there was, like, little things like your ship gets away.
Plus, all three of those endings are just pick one.
Correct.
Like, it's not like if you broker peace with the AI, then you get ending C where the AI and the humans merge. It's all, like, regardless of what you've done, just pick an ending.
Correct. It's pick an ending. And then there was other little things like your ship gets away, even though the suicide mission, some people from your suicide mission were on the getaway ship. Like, well, how did that happen? And they did the alternate ending where they disabled those gem case, they didn't blow them up to, you know, make up for that problem, and they did other little things, but it was still the concept of the ending.
DSA, wasn't it? Or didn't something from the DLC actually, like,
they came? They had a DLC just to fix the ending, and they made some minor changes, but, you know, it is what it was. Like, the new Mass Effect game, I've heard, is fun from a gameplay style, and I've heard the story is shit. Like, for me, if it's a shit story but a fun game, I would be tempted to play it because then there's no investment of the game.
Right.
But you can play mechanic game. Yeah. I think I mentioned this last week. There are no sci-fi style games out there. Like, The Witcher 3 is a great fantasy game. There's so many games like that exist for fantasy, but there's just none for a sci-fi world. So if you want that sci-fi edge, Matt, the new Mass Effect is really all you have. So if you're like, okay, I can play this game and I know the story shit, but you know when knowing there's going to be no story, but you want the action of the style,
you know, that's a reason to play that game.
Even games like Halo, currently right now, the storyline is going down the shit tube.
Yeah.
So I mean, granted, a lot of people say that the original Halo games really had no storyline. They had a decent storyline going up, but now it's not even really that much fun.
Yeah. And I think you got so invested with Mass Effect for all the years. Everything did. And Mass Effect 3 had a few sides of problems on the way. Like Mass Effect 2, you encounter this creature you can save or kill, and it has little side effects. In the third game, you get to this planet. If you saved him, he is there, and he'll join the war effort. Part 3 is all about traveling the galaxy, trying to get people to join your side. It's like join our side and fight, or maybe go hide, where there are people's options. So you're like, well, fight with us. So in Mass Effect 3, you go to this island. You find a planet where he's at, and of course he joins you because, you know, you got him, he saved him. But if you don't choose that, and he was the last of his kind. So you get to that planet, and third one, oh, there's another new last of its kind, and then you can talk to him and he'll join you. So, like, even these things that you put this effort to, they keep having all these, like, get-out-of-jail-free cards scattered throughout three.
Sure, there's going to be one of those things there, either him or a new last.
Yeah, and you're like, cause... well, it would have been nice if I did it to have lost that opportunity and gained some, you know, based on my choice. Yeah. So there was lots of little signs throughout the game, and you kept having these dreams of this kid. Like, in the beginning of the game, you escape Earth and you watch this kid die. You're like, oh, no. So you have multiple dreams throughout the game of the kid dying, and then at the end, the aliens take the form of that kid. Like, when I had the second dream of that kid, I'm like, well, that's as bad. Like, that's going to annoy me later, because they wouldn't show you the same kid for the third time. Because they're obviously going to do something with them. So I had like a little tinge of a concern there. And then, not that ruined it, but it was just annoying that the villain just took the shape of that kid. But whatever, that's a minor quibble. And some people were mad because the main character died. I'm like, who cares? I mean, when you went to that last mission, you just assumed it was a suicide. There was no doubts what you were doing was not a suicide mission. So like your character dying to me was just the obvious thing that was going to happen based on the shenanigans going on. But, I don't know.
Is 3 the one where you can do 100 pull-ups and then a guy likes you?
I don't know.
That seemed lame.
I
was in a game store and they had a two-player set of Warhammer 40K, and it was Space Marines and Orcs. And I bought it and split it with a friend, and then another friend wanted to play, and so I gave him half the Space Marines, and then he made them into Chaos Marines by just kit-bashing them.
Mm-hmm.
And then a fourth friend wanted to play, and so I gave him the rest of the normal Marines, and I bought Tyranids. And so the four of us had Orcs, Space Marines, Chaos Marines, and Tyranids, and we played Warhammer 40K. And I was like, when I was like 14 or something, because 40K is made for 14-year-olds.
It is?
Like, GW's entire business model is based on the fact that there will always be 14-year-old boys.
Not so much anymore. They're really catering towards the 20, 30 people now. They're catering 20, much to it.
Teenagers can't afford the game anymore. They've moved
on. Yeah. Mom can't afford that on top of everything. If I made
one figure for $120, I need I need 20 of them.
Yeah. Have you seen Forge World prices?
Fair. Yeah.
And all the cool shit is in Forge World. And yeah, they're really catering towards the adult, young adult now.
By the way, I had that and we played that. And then I grew up and I didn't play it anymore. And then I saw a picture of Terminus, and I bought War Machine. It's only my second miniatures game. I've always been a board gamer. Board game. Because it tends to be tighter rules. And that's the thing. Is like I felt like I outgrew 40K, because 40K was very beer and pretzel-y, very just like, you know, throw some dice, shit happens, you know, whatever. And since I was always more of a board gamer, I wanted tight rules, tight measurements, which, you know, something like a hex is going to give you. There's no inches in a board game.
Correct.
And so... I just couldn't resist Terminus and the Dire Troll Blitzer.
I think our I guess maybe not even so Blood Bowl, but I think it wasn't a venture into miniature games, but it could have easily led to that, is our early games of Battletech.
Sure.
Yeah, we did play Battletech. Was a lot of fun. Like, I knew of Warhammer from Warhammer Games Workshop. It was something you saw in the store and said, man, if I just wanted to throw all my money away, I would get into that, but we never did because of that.
I mean,
but eventually we broke down.
Old men played miniatures games, like, because I for some reason where I saw them played, it was like the 80-year-old men playing Napoleonic era. Yeah,
that was at was it Napoleon's over in Milwaukee?
Yeah,
was in Illinois. This was down in the far west suburbs, like Aurora, Illinois, and Skokie and whatnot. But either way, it was always, you know, 70-year-old men playing with tiny, like, half inch tall, because it was like basically like Warhammer Epic size stuff, you know, where they'd have 10 people on a 1-inch by 1-inch base, you know, representing a little regiment or whatever. Like, that was wargaming, and I'm like, I'm not 100 years old. Fuck that. I'll just play Axis and Allies with my brothers and my dad. And then, you know, I saw some fucking Space Marines and Orcs, and I couldn't say no.
Orcs are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Orcs.
Tyranids. It's back in, this was second edition, when the Lictor's chest hooks could, like, drag man-sized things and whatnot before, yeah, well, whatever.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, before Necrons. And then Necrons came out, I'm like, fuck you!
Orc pod people are probably the best in the world. The fact that they're just fungus that just grow.
Yeah, I like the Orc mythos.
Yeah, I love the fact that they are innately magical creatures that don't know that they're magical.
They just believe stuff hard enough, and that's why their weapons work.
Yeah, their weapons work, and, you know, their vehicles go faster because...
Well, red goes fast.
Red goes faster.
I like everything about orcs. You know, yeah. I really hate the entirety of... Well, I hate the entirety of the Age of Sigmar mythos.
Sure.
It's just garbage. And I'm not the biggest fan of the whole... Space Marines, like the Emperor, and you know the I kind of like that they're the good guys, but they're evil mind raping monsters.
Oh yeah,
it's like, you know, like, but I feel like a lot of the Warhammer audience doesn't understand that it's being subverted. They unironically think the war or the Space Marines are heroes.
No, they're just as terrible as a Chaos faction.
If not worse.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the thing is, like, the Sigmar especially, like, that's one of the things that I like it is. So, there's one faction that goes around wiping out entire towns, just murdering women and children, and those are the good guys.
The Stormcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the Chaos, at least, it's like, you know, do your thing, have some freedom. You know, you want to be evil? Okay, come with us. You don't? Well, whatever, bye. And they go along.
We'll eat you.
But then the or whatever.
Yeah.
But then the Stormcast came along, like, oh, whatever. There were Chaos people. Like, you got attacked by Chaos people last month, and you managed to chase them off, and half of you died. Well, you've been tainted. Blaster, 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 blaster. And that's, I could get behind that, except the 40K is like, yeah, they're the heroes. Like, no, they're fucking not. Like, have the cojones to just make it villain-on-villain action.
Yep.
Boom.
But whatever, that's how I got into it. Because I was a 14-year-old boy, and 14-year-old boys always buy Warhammer 40K.
Zappity.
Zappity. Grumble.
You didn't do yours.
Grumble.
It's basically, Andy came back with Blood Bowl. I'm going to throw that out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I
well, we were always doing games, and we didn't. There wasn't like anything else. I mean, that was like, we didn't have board, like, board games. We weren't really. I played like some Axis and Allies and some Supremacy, but I didn't like really have other, many other things. That wasn't until many years later. So, you know.
Yeah, I think we just when I came back from the army, I brought Blood Bowl, and then we all just kind of
like
started
94.
Going down to. Well, no, it was 96.
Yeah, 96. Same thing.
But
so we all got into miniatures game about the same time.
Yeah, basically, we started going down to the game store and just started picking our armies.
Because we were always going to the game store for comics. And like, yes. So, like, so I mean, we'd see, we would see the other stuff around the comics, and then we just stayed in the comic realm until, you know.
And, you know, we played Dungeons & Dragons. I mean, so we were there for that stuff, too. Yep. And so it was like, oh, yeah, but this, you know.
I was in there either buying GURPS books or cheap-ass games. The James Ernst Company, which hilariously, I confused the guy that exact store. I confused one of the clerks once because I'm like, "Do you have any cheap ass games?" And he tried to like just show me the clearance section because he thought I was just swearing at him.
Good times.
Yeah. All right. Zavity, Rebel, so recommendations.
There was a topic. There was a nice.
What's
big
your
topic.
Recommendation, Nathan?
Don't try to pull a prank on someone.
So, the entirety of review has now come and gone, so that's a good one, obviously. I'm just repeating what I said last time. Watch MST3K. It comes out this week now. That's fucking amazing to me that one of my favorite shows that's been off the air for 20... They I posted on my Facebook. They had a live Q&A with Crow and Tom Servo on Facebook, and holy shit, they were so good together. Like, the repertoire they had between the two of them, just the characters they had down pat. Tom Servo felt like Tom Servo, Crow felt like Crow, and they fed off of each other improv, because this wasn't pre-scripted, this was live Q&A. And
well, haven't they been the same people, different people doing them?
It's different people.
Oh.
It's a whole new cast.
Okay.
It's a whole new cast.
Oh, I thought the voices of of Crow and Tom
whole
were
new
still...
cast.
Oh.
Entirely new cast. And so Jonah, the new human host, he... Part of him coming there was he talked to Joel, and I don't know how much of it was like a line in the sand and how much is like, hey, you should let me do this. But he picked the Crow and the Tom Servo, and he picked people he had worked with and people he knew that he could work with. And so their relationship, like, they're tight. Sure, know, and you sure. could really tell with the way that, that they were doing the Q&A. And it's just, they obviously got the characters. All three of them are huge fans from childhood, so they, like, respect it. It's not like a cash-in thing. But just, they were so, I was laughing my ass off for the whole Q&A. And if they're half that funny during the episodes, it's back in style.
So just it was all on Netflix, right? The original...
Not all of it. Not all so, of them, like, there's, like, it. 20 or so episodes on Netflix. There's sure. still, like, 20 or so episodes on Hulu. There's a lot on the official MST3K YouTube channel. There's a lot of episodes you can't legally get anymore. Because the problem with that show is that they lost... The rights were an issue. Because originally they had the rights to broadcast them on TV. They didn't bother getting DVD rights because they were a TV show.
Sure, yeah.
And so they didn't have DVD rights. So a lot of these movies they couldn't release on DVD. And then they get to weird things. Like there's one woman who randomly, like her husband was a collector or something, but she randomly owns the rights to a lot of shitty B movies. And she just refuses to sell them to MST3K. So a lot of these movies they'll never get. The Gamera and Godzilla movies, they're never going to get those rights back again. You know, well, the fact that they got them in the first place was like the fact amazing. That they were allowed to do like four or five Godzilla movies and three Gamera movies in the first place is huge. But like those you'll never be able to legally see those episodes again. You'll have to pirate them. But no, if you're going to watch them, just watch Netflix because they track that shit. And Netflix is the one doing the new series. So sure, the more people that are watching any episode old or new, the better it is for the ratings. Yeah. But people are watching it right now because today the Kickstarter backers got to watch the first new episode.
Oh.
But this coming, I believe it's either Friday or Saturday is when it goes live.
Why didn't you back it?
I didn't know about the Kickstarter until like 2 days after it ended. I missed the Kickstarter, which is insane that nobody thought to tell me about it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
They should do a review show so I could watch. That's a great idea you had. I mean, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I'd watch their reviews of current things.
Yeah.
Because what we don't have is enough goofy review shows.
We
lost reviews. So we lost a review show. We have to fill the review show gap with a new review show.
Yeah. Works for me.
All right. Rats, Chris, do you have a recommendation?
I don't have a recommendation. Take your miniatures to your friend's house because otherwise, I mean, I've had that starter box for Signar since Mark III dropped, and they just sat there, and then I brought them to Andy's, and I put them all together today.
So if you're going to visit a friend and not do anything, you can at least build models?
Yep.
There you go.
Well, that was my plan.
Right. I watch videos.
I really wanted Andy to put them together, but then, you know, he left his stuff at work, so I'm like, well.
Oh, here's a recommendation. I need a Prime Conflicts, but I don't want to spend money on it, and it's not on the web store.
Why not?
I don't know why it's not on the web store.
Probably not yet. It'll be there soon.
Well, I only have until Conflicts.
Are they actually officially out?
Yes.
Yeah, they've been out for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been on for a good long while. Yeah, the Conflux is out. So I need a Conflux. We'll trade models for Conflux. Hook me up.
Boom.
That's your recommendation?
Or hit me up, not hook me up. Hit me up. I need a Conflux, and I can trade other stuff for a Conflux.
What is your recommendation, Andy?
My recommendation is to watch Review again.
Yeah. Do you ever watch the Australian one?
No, I watch most of it. I didn't catch it. I think there's only a second season.
Yeah. It's different enough that it's worth watching. Yeah.
I watched a little bit of it and I thought it was okay, but it didn't compel me enough. I mean, it's definitely a different style. It's the same idea but a different style.
It doesn't have the continuing repercussional train wreck of the American one. Well, the American one from the moment he does Pancakes Divorce Pancakes until the end of the series, it is a domino effect.
Yeah. And the other one, his first review is kill someone, which he just does, and it's not a big deal.
And then there's a punchline. Like, one guy catches him burying a body, so then he has to kill that guy, and it's like, he had to kill a second guy. Whatever. But there's no permanent repercussions. Correct. It's more just gags and skits. But it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
I wanted to show somebody Divorce Pancakes, or Pancakes Divorce Pancakes. But then he just recently went through a divorce, so I didn't want to have him watch it, so
you might appreciate it.
He had a picture of go ahead.
Here's a funny. Brian didn't get this, and I'm surprised he didn't see it because the way I found out about it was in the AV Club review, which Brian religiously reads. But in the last episode of Review, Phil from Melbourne sends in a review request. That's just one of the people.
Sure.
You know? And Phil from Melbourne is an actual guy named Phil who actually lives in Melbourne, and his name is Phil Lloyd, and he was co-creator and star of Review, the hit Australian television show.
Oh, really?
That was the guy from the other Review, which I think is kind of cool that they got him on.
Have you seen Review?
I have not.
We should at least.
I don't watch TV. I play.
One. We should have you at least watch one episode before you jet
just
on.
Just one
out.
Video, one quick video. Just one,
I am starving.
One quick video, Chris.
So we no. can get some
food. Somebody eating pancakes will make you not hungry.
No,
we could go get some food.
Yeah,
and then, eat it, and then just watch it.
No.
All right.
I'm also going to recommend a previous thing. People should play Total War Warhammer. They announced the second one coming out later this year sometime. And it's such a fun game. And the fact they're going to be able to... There's going to be three of them. And they're all going to be combined together. And it's such a... Total War games are the greatest thing for Warhammer ever. Because it's like the old war... It's like the old rank and file Warhammer before it turned into what it is today. And it's such a thematic game. And they've done such a good job. I can't believe how good of a job and how many hours I've put into Total War Warhammer. It's just so much fun. Conquering the... You know, I've conquered... You know, I'm currently replaying the game as the Vampire Counts. I've conquered the world as the Empire and the... Orcs multiple times, and
I bought that game the same time Brian did, and I've played it. I'm shocked at how much I've played it, which is 2 hours.
Yeah, they added Bretonians and Wood Elves have both been added to the game. The expansion is going to add High Elves and Dark Elves and Lizardmen and Skaven. I mean, and you're
going to an expansion or is it part two?
It's its own game, but they're going to when you get it, you can play in that part of the world, or they're going to have the way you can combine the maps. It's like they're going to basically by the time the third one comes out, practically. Almost everything they've ever had for a fantasy army is going to be in the game. And each army can be led by one of like 4 or 5 different leaders. Like I can play the orcs with the squig leader. I can have a different orcs. Like I can run them with savage orcs. I can run them with just so many different ways. And each faction is just done so well. It is a fantastic game. I will say I've played all the Total War games, and I would say most Total War games I would auto-resolve about 80% of the battles. I like the battle system, but sometimes I'm like, man, I just don't have time. I want to get through the game. In this game, I play probably 70% of the games. It's just so much fun to watch your army, just the armies collide and control your wizards and your creatures and all the elements it has. And
I played one Total War game, and yeah. It was the Shogun Total War.
Two or one?
I think one.
So the very, very first one they've ever done.
Possibly. And I don't know if I'm an idiot or I was missing something or the game's terrible or all three, because what like the third tutorial is here's to demonstrate that hills are advantageous. And it starts you with like a group of archers on a hill and it has enemy infantry.
Sure.
And it says kill the infantry and you attack them and they just walk up the hill and kill all your archers and then you fail the mission. And I did that 4 times and then I uninstalled the game.
That seems like a Nathan story.
Like, there was nothing else to it. Like,
I did have some similar issues as well. I'm like, but I thought, well, I'm just bad at games.
But
so.
How can you be bad at having your archers who are already on the hill shoot the infantry to demonstrate that it's good to have your archers
well,
on the hill
I
shoot the infantry?
Knowing like, how you can't succeed at other games that are simple, I don't really
did
know.
Did you try putting the archers at the bottom of the hill and
did
see
you,
what
did
they
you,
did then?
Did you charge it
I
with
mean,
swords instead
so
of
know.
Arrows?
I so shot the first archers. Infantry, and then a clicker came out and attacked all my archers, and it was bullshit.
Well, I mean, he was stuck to the cover
that
of
game,
the hill.
Yeah,
and
then I took cover, and I was sideways on the hill.
It's literally the first game they did, and I don't remember the... I mean, that's the one I played the very least of, so I can't... I don't have any comment on that game. I will say what's so great about... I mean, the games have a curve, because, I mean, there's so many subcommands you can do. Like, you can, like, organize armies. Like, you can have, like, a... archer unit and then an infantry unit, and then if you're really good you can put them together, and then there's a button you can press where it just moves them, and you know the archers stay in front until the enemies get close, and if you're on fast enough you press the button they just like switch places, which is kind of cool. So there's a lot of like really interesting
rather
AI.
Than having two different units they
correct.
Yeah.
But there's all these like shortcut, and I'm a kind of person who plays the game, I'm pausing the game all the time, and some people are like, well, you should just play it in real time and never pause. I go, fuck you. I like the idea of this. If I have 20 units on the board,
yeah.
I'm going to be pausing it every few moments to like look at what's happening.
Well, it's
kind of
like, I love StarCraft, and I just can't play StarCraft because I see the people, they click 50 million times a second, and all this shit happens, and I can't even remember. There's too many different units for me to even remember what the different Zerg... fucking I don't know that guy from that guy to that guy. I know that the Hydralisk shoot and the Zerglings run and bite, and you know you get to like the tier 7 people that are like putting out spores, and like the queens, I don't know what the fuck a queen does.
My issue with playing games like StarCraft and Warcraft back in the day was I didn't want anybody to die. So I'd be like, there's got to be a way I can do this mission and not have a single one of my guys die.
I'm
well
sure
let's
is.
Try this. All right, let's do this. And yeah, it If you give me a chance to micromanage,
so much shit.
I don't like games that give me a chance to micromanage because I will micromanage everything.
And the fun thing about Total War Warhammer is, so you have a lot of the play people who are very standard. They control cities and they move around, and they have like these beastmen don't really control cities. They basically are like moving cities, and you kind of control them differently. And like wood elves have only their major forts, but they put outposts everywhere, and different factions can only control certain things. And every faction, there's a few factions that have gimmick. Like Chaos Armies have animosity between them, so Chaos Armies can't stay together is kind of their gimmicky thing. And Empire and Dwarves are good trade. They have trade values and Metonians. So there's all these like little, each faction has just elements that make them different. And like Skaven, so I'm curious to see how the Skaven and the High Elves and the Dark Elves go, because they're adding in the Vortex element to the game, since the Vortex is a big thing in the Warhammer fluff. Mm-hmm. And the Skaven, they technically haven't announced the Skaven, but when you see the game, they show you High Elves, Dark Elves, and Lizardmen, which look amazing. And at the very end, they show a rat turn to the camera and kind of have glowing eyes. Mm. And in the Total War 2 Warhammer, there's a couple of Skaven things sketched into the idol. So obviously, they're in the game. If they do what they did with the first game, though, there'll be four races and one DLC race at the launch. Because number one had four races with one DLC race.
That was chaos.
Was the...
And then they came out. I mean, literally, they added wood elves, they added beastmen, they added Bretonians. They broke vampires and orcs and goblins into multiple factions. Dwarves have multiple starting factions. Like even though they have those factions, there's so many because there are so many elements of each faction.
When are they going to do Total War Age of Sigmar?
Probably not. But I mean,
it's skirmish, not war based, so it doesn't really work in the whole combat world.
There's also potentially the Ogre Kingdoms could be added later on. Because they're running Dwarves.
Yeah, I mean, Chaos Dwarves, Tomb Kings, Ogre Kingdoms. I mean, they don't have a ton of factions left. I mean, there are some left, but I mean, by the third game, they're going to have probably everything. And
I would love
every faction's going to have 2 to 4 special characters, and each character does kind of change how you play the army a bit different.
I would love to see what a Tomb King army would look like, in all animated with the chariots. And yeah.
Watching Screaming Skull Catapults. Squigs eat characters never gets old.
Bone giants and
yeah. And watching characters fly when and dragons coming down, and there are watching the. So it is beautiful.
Non-troll question: like, this world doesn't exist anymore.
Technically, yeah, so, yeah. So when they announced that, when they announced Total War Warhammer, the game, they like about a month later, 2 months later, they killed that. Yeah, world.
I know. So my point is, like, where does it take
place? It takes place back. This is just pre Age of Sigmar. It's their worlds and their maps are all with what look like pre Age of Sigmar.
Yeah.
So they just like, I mean, my point is, there's got to be an official plot line. Or is there not? Like, did 40K just say, at some point it all blows up and they just left a big gap? Is there no official, on Tuesday this guy did this and then on Thursday the world blew up? You're talking
about how Age of Sigmar got created?
I know how Age of Sigmar got created. My point is, the last ever, like, there's a mythos to, Warhammer Fantasy, okay? Yeah. There's a plot line. There's stuff happening. Mm-hmm, yeah. This stuff is happening, and then at some point, this stuff happening consists of everything exploding.
That was the end time.
The lizard man flying off to their home planet, and then Age of Sigmar starting.
Yeah.
Yep.
So where do they shoehorn in these games?
This game is before that.
Yeah. It's just like at a random point before that, they just say, this happened.
And it's
a prequel-ish. Yeah.
It's a sandbox, so you know how things play out based on how you want to play it out. Yeah. So it's pretty fun. Yeah, I love the Total War War. And what the little side thing for it is, there are some people who play Total War. There have been so many Total War historical games that there are some people, when they saw Total War Warhammer, they had rage 500 times greater than my Mass Effect rage. Because how dare a company that makes historical games change what they did? How dare them do that? And now they're coming. They can do Medieval 3. You know, they can only do, how many times can you do Medieval? How many times can you do Shogun? How many times can you do, you know,
how
Rome?
How many times can you do Call of Duty?
Yeah, exactly. But so people got, and then when they announced Total War 1, and then the next game they announced was Total War 2, those people got even, they are so angry. Now, in the company has two development teams. They have a team who's doing the Warhammer, which have nothing to do with the fantasy, and the fantasy team just haven't announced their game yet. Like, it's coming. And they keep saying it'll be announced in the future when it's ready, but it's not ready yet. And it was easy to do Warhammer 2 because so much of the engine already existed, because they're just adding a few races and that some of the mechanics already exist. But there are people so furious. It just is so much fun to watch them post their rage. Also, Total War 2 is, I mean, the last couple of games before Total War, like when Total Warhammer was announced, I was a little nervous because Rome 2 wasn't that great out of the gate, and it never really got great. Shogun 2... with some of the expansions turned out really good, but even Shogun 2 out of the gate was kind of crappy, and Rome out of the gate was kind of crappy. So we're like, I don't know, they come out of the gate pretty bad with some of these games, and they just took everything up a notch and made Total War great from day one, and it's only gotten better. So, you know, I think they're taking their time. I think they're redoing some of the historical things. They realize they've been making some mistakes, so they're trying to really correct with some of their mistakes and make that series even better. But the fans are like, how dare you make me wait? It's like Friday the 13th is coming out really soon, but they haven't given a date, and people are mad because it's been delayed a few months longer than they thought. But they're like, I want it tomorrow. You know, they want a crappier game tomorrow than waiting a couple more days for a great game.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and yet the same people still complain about the industry. Like, oh, look at that. Like, glorified beta tests. I guess I'll have to have a patch on day one patches. Well, if you didn't ask for shit sooner, there wouldn't be day one.
Yeah, and Friday the 13th, then they use it. The beta feedback is like, they've shown videos from the beta since beta. And it's like the feedback you can see in the game. It's so amazing, but it's just taking a little bit longer. People are so furious. And they just don't want to. And you know those same people who want the game tomorrow in rough shape will just complain as fuck why it's in rough shape when they could have waited a little bit longer. It's so much fun to watch these idiots just complain.
Total Warhammer is actually doing fairly well for Sega and them.
Yeah, no, they made a lot. I mean, it's really been a hit for them. It was even all the people. It was well received by all the review companies. It was really a popular thing. So if you like conquering the world now, like Jeremy likes the Civ games, and this didn't quite do it for him because he didn't really like the whole maneuvering the armies because it's a little bit of a learning curve. And when I play a new faction, I'll have to play. I start a campaign over like 3 or 4 times to get like the feel of that army because each army plays differently. And if I try to play vampires like I play Empire, I'm going to lose a lot. I got to get in the mindset.
That
of
makes
the right
me
army.
Feel better because it's like I just didn't feel like I knew what I was doing at all.
Oh no, you say I'm going to try orcs and you just try some things and go, wow, that did not work. And I'm like, I got to start over a couple times and you kind of get the feel of what's going on. And like any big video game like that, like I don't play I don't play like Solaris and Crusader Kings 2 from, I think Paradox is the company. They make games.
Yeah.
Like their games are required 10 hours of review.
You need a college course in how to play like Crusader Kings, Tides of Iron, Europa Universalis. Yeah, it's insane.
I have watched dozens of hours on Crusader Kings 2, and when I still try to play it, I still flounder around. Like I'd have to probably put 20 to 30 hours in of just not doing well to finally have a game kind of start rolling. Like I always tell Jeremy and Katie play that game and they played it a lot. So I always tell them I'm just gonna come over and watch you guys play it through a campaign for like, you know, a month just so I understand what the fuck I'm supposed to do.
Well, and I talked about Dominions 4 a lot. I think that game's amazing and I'm terrible at it and I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. And there's people, you know, that have it so min-maxed.
So it's kinda like Twilight Struggle in a sense where it's is that Twilight Struggle, the one I'm thinking of? The two-player?
Twilight Imperium.
No,
the two-player Twilight Struggle.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. There's a certain game that have such a curve to it.
Oh, yeah, because we talked about that. Like, if two people play that a lot, yeah, exactly. Because you have to know everything, right? It's like War Machine, right? It's like, you know, until you know all this stuff, you just flounder and lose.
And Total War 2 is going to have co-op mode for the first time. So you can play a campaign with a friend conquering the world, which you've never had before.
Uh-oh.
So that's going to be a pretty amazing thing. So if people want to conquer the world together or fight each other, a thing. I don't know if it's just two players or more, but there will be a co-op mode in Total War 2.
I'm sorry, Andy. I just got a huge erection.
Shit. And like, but even Crusader Kings and Solaris, those down
line, it's big.
Like, yeah. So and like, even those,
I was like my
because all those Paradox games have co-op modes too.
Table lifts up.
Because John plays those games. I'm always so jealous when John talks about his co-op games and those Paradox games. It sounds so amazing, but I'm not good at them, and I don't know anyone other than Jeremy who plays those games. And I don't know. I think it's just insane time commitments for that. Like, I would have to quit a hobby. I would have to quit one of my hobbies to play those games. Because I don't have the time required.
We should play. I have Empires in Arms, which is basically the board game version of that kind of thing. Because like the full 7-player campaign takes about 300 hours to play from start to finish. And the book reads like stereo instructions. So we should play that.
We still, in 2 weeks, we should do Twilight Imperium, but we should do that too.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my recommendation. Play more Total War Warhammer, because it's phenomenal. If you want. Squigs eating people to me might be as adorable as those red pandas. I don't know which is more adorable to me, but it's very close and adorable.
I sometimes even go back to the Warhammer Online videos and just watch those. The intro videos for Warhammer Online. With the orcs catapulting themselves into the keep, Well, they didn't really get into the keep. Yeah. They got into the wall of the keep and then slid down.
When you shoot a Doom Diver for the Orcs and Goblins, you can literally take control and you can kind of steer the Doom Diver as it's flying towards the enemies.
Is it really control, or is it just more of just
it's a little bit of control. Direction? It's, okay. You're not piloting an airplane. But you can definitely help if you want to.
Doom divers in the game are not very efficient.
Yeah.
Because it's a goblin with a kite added on. Yeah. I want to play that game so much. Anyway, I guess, are we calling it?
There we go.
Yeah.
Right, yay.
We're done. Yay. Thanks for watching, guys.